why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. To you, you were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this end?
Common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Oh, yeah. We have stuff to talk about. Huh. It's going to be an amazing week next week. It's going to be an amazing show today. We're going to be talking about things we're actually going to have a conversation all about the St. Louis Public Schools this morning and the importance of the meeting on Tuesday. We're going to have conversations this morning that you do not want to miss. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Let's take a break. And when we get back, let us continue. 1-877-920-WGA. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at Letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to Letstalk17.com. That's Letstalk17.com.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with The Motivational Moment. I would like to encourage you to use persuasion instead of convincing when you are communicating with others and you are wanting to influence them. You see, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. When you use persuasion, people actually adopt your way of thinking. But when you convince people, guess what? All you get is compliance. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 McLean. Be there.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Still ain't seen nothing like my neighbor. Of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. The little things and the joy they bring.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Oh, my goodness, we have an amazing show. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have independent journalist Sarah Olson. Who is Sarah Olson? She is a journalist who published an exclusive interview with First Lieutenant Aaron Watada. Who is he? The highest ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy to Iraq. Now they want Olson to be the military wants Olson to be a witness against Lieutenant Watada. We're going to be talking to this journalist today about what it is like to be in that position. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to some folks that are also, this is absolutely in court with Liz Brown today. Everything is about a trial, it seems like. We're going to have some folks that are facing jail time for protesting the School of Americas. It's going to be rock and roll this morning. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I wanted to, when the whole Michael Richards crazy thing was going on, the guy from Seinfeld, I had this really crazy notion, and I talked to a couple friends about it, and they thought I was crazy, that I think that there should be a way that we outlaw the N-word, because I, you know, and then I don't mean, you know, jail time or anything. I mean a fine. And a lot of my friends thought I was crazy. Well, I woke up this morning, and they have that going on in Brazorian, Texas.
In where?
In Brazorian, Texas.
Okay.
They ran it on Channel 4 News. I just woke up to it, you know. And they're trying to ban the N-word in public places, and the governor, the mayor is. And do you know there were Caucasian people there and African-American people opposing that because they said, please don't do that because I greet my friend with the N-word.
Well, we have to ask the question, okay? Anytime, from my perspective, anytime a question is, or a new type of law is put on the book for punishment, I always have to ask the question of how it is going to impact on my community. And if this particular law is really about protecting people, or is it about another means to put my community within the criminal justice system? And as we know today, being part of the criminal justice system in the year 2007 is a lot different than being part of the criminal justice system in 1980 even. Because you can't get credit. Oh, you can't get a job. You can't rent a home. You know, there are, it is such a, once you're part of this system now, they're shutting so many doors that you truly don't have, some folks truly don't have a future. Okay, so that's where I start. How does it impact upon my community? And then when we have a law out here that one would think is about the protection of people of African descent, I got to ask, who's bringing this law for real? I got to question the motivation of folks like this. Is this what it appears to be? Will there be more African people? Is this just another attempt to go after African people than white folks? Okay? And from my perspective, an African person, and I am absolutely opposed to the word, I do not use the word, okay? But the thing about it is that when an African uses that word to another African, it is not the same as when a white person directs it to an African person.
And you're right about that.
Okay, and so what I would rather see is the question of this being a hate crime.
Right.
Okay?
Right,
I would rather it be described as a hate crime than a means to another means to get at African people.
Right. And I agree with you on that because, you know, if we were talking about it and they said, well, you know, we greet each other like that when I was talking to my friends about it. And I said, you know what, we can't say fire in the middle of a building, or we can't say we're going to do something to the president. That's illegal. And if it's something directly harmful, because that word is so harmful, I'm like you, I do not use that
word. I don't
use
it.
We're allowed to use the word.
Absolutely. And I think that there has to be an education about what this word is, but they're also, within the law, there's also the question of intent. So are you intending to do that? Or, you know, and with people of African descent that are using that from one another, the intent is not the same as when a white person said that to me.
Flag.
Okay,
I'll
it's a.
Use it as a hit my sister theory. Because I have a brother, you know, I don't know if you have a brother, but you know when you used to play around and goof around and they'd hit you?
Mm-hmm.
They'd get in trouble with mom, but it's not the same as if your neighbor hit you.
There you go. There you go. There you go. It's a totally different thing. And so I got to ask the question of where is this law being enforced? Are they going into black communities enforcing this law? Are they really going into white communities enforcing this law? And who's the mayor of this town?
I caught the end of it. I mean, he's a Hispanic guy.
Mm-hmm.
I did get that. And from the people that I saw, it was mostly a white community.
There you go. So my question is, I don't believe. I've lived in this country for too long. Mm-hmm. I have been African all of my life. I have never had I've never seen an action like an action that was created to really, really, really protect my community from a white city. Haven't seen it. Have not seen it. So I do not. I doubt this very seriously. I doubt that this is what some would say it appears to be. It's not about stopping the use of this word. It's about finding a way to go after people of African descent. And it's going to start with a fine, and it'll probably will go to a crime. I defy a cop to be hanging out with his boys and folks say and them using the word as they casually use it.
Uh-huh.
You're going to arrest your friend.
Uh-huh.
You're going to arrest your mama. You're going to arrest what you call your crazy uncle. You're going to arrest him. Are you going to find him? I don't think so. I don't think so. But I bet you go to that young man that you've been targeting your entire career at the mall.
Right.
You know, I know you're going to do that.
Well, I just hate the word so much.
I hate it.
It's so hurtful. I mean, that is one word that really cuts to the quick of even our strong black men. You know what I mean? I just hate the word.
The word is awful. It should not be used, but this is not what it... This is not about that word.
Yeah.
It is not.
Well, thank you so much, Liz. I really appreciate your insight.
Madison, thank you for that.
Okay.
Take
bye-bye.
Care now. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello, Liz.
Alfred, good morning. I am outstanding.
This is a nobody who has made a name for himself. Now he thinks he's somebody. That's right.
Who's that?
This man you're talking about want to make the crime.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know him before that, did you?
That's fact.
You didn't even know town or anything about
that's
him.
Fact.
He made a statement. The press got a hold to it.
There you go.
And now he's big shot.
There you
People
go.
Interview.
There you go.
Let him fade away.
There you go.
Okay, bye.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, my goodness. We have so much stuff to talk about. Please don't forget that Tuesday at 6 o'clock at Harris Stowe. Right there in the main auditorium. Desi is coming to town. And I am asking all of you, I'm imploring. Please get to the meeting because this is about the state of Missouri sending their people down and saying, asking us about what we think about the state takeover and the nullification of our votes with this three-person board. Write down that you don't agree with this, because they'll be taking written statements as well as oral statements. It's Tuesday, 6 to 9, at Harris Stowe, Main Auditorium. Be there. I'll be back. Stay with me.
morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 between 44 and Big Bend. Look for slow traffic there. Bell Fountain at 270. There's a report of an accident. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Look for traffic to be building out in that area. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason. And then again from Spady Road through McKnight. Look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into the landing. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255, 270 overpass. Look for no delays there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSV. There's no delays. Northbound 270 at around the 70 mark. Look for some delays as you roll onto the exchange going eastbound. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to blustery conditions, mostly sunny, high in the mid-50s, however. This evening, partly cloudy, in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight, a low around 30. Moving into Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries. The highs will only be in the mid-30s. Saturday evening, colder still, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries, a low around 15. Then on Sunday, mostly cloudy, colder in the morning, then partly sunny throughout the day, but the high will only be in the mid-20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies, 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 30 degrees and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock. More riveting radio with Liz Brown and the wake-up call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Pastor Ray Higgins of the African Village, and I want you to tune in on Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. because I have a message that will liberate you from the trap of spiritual and economic powerlessness. Brothers and sisters, the knowledge of the truth will make you free. So join me on Sunday at 7 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Minister Rogers, host of Radio UFO. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests. I've had UFO investigator and coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Dennis Balthaser. I've had Sam Marantos, director of the Illinois Mutual UFO Network, and Felix Clairvoyant with the Raelium Movement, the scientific organization that was involved in the first human clone. Tune in every Friday and Saturday night at midnight and listen to more Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations on AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LeClean. Be there.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Was it your pride made you wanna die? Leave your mama, wonder why, and the baby begin to cry. And was it over? Jilted lover, busted brother, operating undercover, make you turn your back on the guy. Tell me what you crying for. Let him go. Don't want to no more.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. And my long distance, that is toll free, is 1-877-920-WG. And you do not forget that the show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get your hour.
Korean, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran, good
Ms.
morning.
Ms. Brown, I just love you, and I just, you got me. I'm a different person. I feel there's hope in the world now with you here. You've done so much for our community, and I just want to say you're so very insightful. I really feel I would go anywhere in the world with you, and what you just told the party that called in was exactly what I would have said. I've never seen this country produce anything so much to help us, but everything is all to hold us and turn us back. And so it's like the seatbelt law. It's like the cars, I mean, the programs you have, the education. I just sit with all these old folks and give them a little of your school. And you have a blessed day.
Thank you so much.
I love you.
Love you, too. 1-877-920-WGNU. You know what? I broke a story yesterday about we had a new congressman by the name of Cohen. Who was Cohen? Cohen is the congressman that replaced Harold Ford. Who was Harold Ford? Harold Ford was an African congressman from Tennessee. Ran for the Senate seat, lost. As it was, I don't know what he was thinking. Harold Ford ran to the right of Attila the Hun. Harold Ford got the lowest possible ratings from the Congressional Black Caucus Watch. His votes were horrendous. He ran to the right of Attila the Hun. Bible toting, gun shooting, Confederate flag waving, black man running for the Senate, United States Senate in Tennessee. How'd that work out for him? Well, Harold Ford represented a district that was 60% African. Five other African folks ran for that seat, but the one white guy won the seat. Sound like a little Jeff Smith math, doesn't it? So this Cohen is his name. He won the election. He is now the congressman for at least 2 years from this district. I doubt that he'll be there. But I doubt that he will be back. But the first thing he said that he wanted to do was to join the Congressional Black Caucus. Huh? What the huh? Huh? Join the Congressional Black Caucus. I broke this story yesterday that he wanted to join the Congressional Black Caucus. And the Black Caucus and even Bill Clay sent out a memo saying that this is an organization. Bill Clay was one of the founders of the Congressional Black Caucus. This is a black organization. No. No, no. And the member said, no, you can't join. And Cohen backed off. But what is interesting is that Sam Brownback, a Republican who was running, a Republican that's running on the backs of Hispanics, his big thing is get rid of all of them. That's his big claim to fame. He says that there should be no organizations in the United States Congress that are black organizations or Hispanic organizations. There should be none of those organizations. None. And what is fascinating to me is his concept, his reasoning for this. There shouldn't be any of these organizations because, as he puts it, we're working towards a colorblind society, huh? We're working towards a color. Well, who's working towards a colorblind society? I know you ain't. Because if you were colorblind, there would be more than white folks on your staff. If you were colorblind, your world wouldn't be filled with mostly white folks. You are not colorblind, and what is that? What is colorblind? No, what is the desire for a colorblind society, and how does that work? I mean, I can honestly say that we've had 500 years
of a colorblind society. Blind to my color, you're not a human being. You should have inferior facilities. You should be redlined. What is a colorblind? What is the goal of a colorblind society? Are you telling me? And I just think, it's an act of insanity. It is a statement of insanity. It's a statement of insanity to say, when I look at you, I don't see your color. And that's the goal. Of course you see my color. Are you telling me that when you look at the sky, you don't see blue? You look at an evergreen, you don't see green? That's insanity. And if we're working toward, and on the other hand, if we are working towards this thing that says, this thing that says, we are not going to treat people in opposition to the law. That's all I'm asking for. That's all the goal should be. When you see my color, you don't break the law. You don't stop me because of my color. You don't redline me because of my color. You don't assault me because of my color. You don't cheat me because of my color. Just follow the law. So I don't care if you like me. I'm not in pursuit of that. Just lawfulness. That's all. Just follow the law. Do not hire me because of my color. Just be lawful. That's it. That's what the standard is. That's what the desire is. Be lawful. And if that is if we are attempting to get to a place of lawfulness, we have to first acknowledge the crimes that are taking place. And who better to articulate and address the crimes that are being committed than those who are the recipient of the crime? One 920 WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about St. Louis Public Schools and this important meeting that's coming up. Then we're going to talk to an independent journalist, Sarah Olson. This is all about defending the press. Sarah Olson published an exclusive interview with First Lieutenant Aaron Watada. He's the highest ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy to Iraq. Now the Army wants Olson to be their witness in Lieutenant Watada's upcoming court-martial. That's what we're going to be talking about. One of the things we're going to be talking about today. One of the people that we are going to be having a discussion with today. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. Carl.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yes, I don't know if you heard it yesterday, but on your news station yesterday, the news, I forgot what hour it was, but anyway, I think it was a law, one legislator, I guess, was trying to pass a law wherein the dog to be allowed to come into lounges and restaurants.
That people could bring their puppies into the bars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm like, what? I mean, Do they have anything better to do than to come up with such ridiculous things? I don't get it.
Are you saying, Carl, that out of all of the things to work on, that's what you chose to work on?
Yes.
I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I just want to quote real quickly Donald Mims, Louis Farrakhan, when he's made this comment about America being sick. He said, and I don't recall which lecture it was, because I've heard so many of his lectures. He said America is so sick, it just needs to be buried. And I constantly think about that. Here it is, with all the problems in this world, you would think about wanting to bring your pet into these areas. And, I mean, you have the pet at home. Is that enough? You want to bring them in public place? Who is to say that I want to sit up with the pet around me?
I know people love their animals and stuff like that, but it grosses me out to see dogs in restaurants.
Right.
It grosses me out. I love dogs, but
yeah.
I ain't trying to eat with them.
Right, because a dog has you know, his natural way is his mouth.
But you know what? The dog is who the dog is. I've seen human beings not wash their hands when they come out the bathroom in restaurants. So, you know, right. I mean, we have enough to do with trying to make human beings.
Right.
Do what they're supposed to be doing, you know.
It's
so, you have a great weekend. Take care. Shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands: Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics: TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
The St. Louis Poetry Center presents Poetry at the Point on the fourth Tuesday of most months at 7:30 p.m. at the Focal Point in Maplewood. Most evenings feature two poets and sometimes a group. Admission is free. To find out more, call 314-973-0616. Something poetic for you from WGNU.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Sergeant Gary Wigger, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wigger, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026
McLean. Be there.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Frank.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you on this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
You know, I told you back in 1968, I went to Cairo, Illinois, with my Black and Proud sticker, and they written on there, you was a damn lie. I see what Mrs. Jones in 2007, she loses her job, saying she Black and Proud. Man, a blessing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Black and Proud. Jones, Delphine Jones, it's on the news this morning, also the front pages of St. Louis American. She gets fired from her job for wearing chicken. A button, and love being Black.
Who did she work for?
Some kind of a medical building. It's in Missouri here. You know, those last states sign off on slavery. First state in number one in crime and racism. It was out here some institution out here, medical health care center out there.
Do you know what city it was, Mac?
It's in Missouri, right out here.
I know. What city in Missouri?
Well, they did say. It said on the news this morning.
Okay.
But her employer that fired her, he don't see no different in that sticker than wearing a SWAT sticker to work.
You mean a swastika?
Yeah, mm-hmm. but you can wear police clothes. There's no problem with that.
Mm.
I'm sure you'll catch up on this in the St. Louis Mirror.
Thanks.
It was on the news, too.
All right. Thanks for your call, Mac. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to get up. You want to get to me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. And with respect to the question of the banning of the N-word in Basara, Texas, it's interesting that the ministers there are having problems with the ordinance. The ministers had problems with it because they were concerned that there would be a focus on Black kids, Black kids using it, and again. You just have to ask yourself about the history of enforcement. There are thousands of laws on the books, thousands of them. And because we are human beings get to decide, human beings do decide whether they're going to enforce a law, because we have laws, we have cops that enforce the law. We have prosecutors that decide to, even if a cop enforces a law, a prosecutor doesn't have to decide to go any further with it. So they can stop it there. And if it gets past the prosecutor, it could always get to the judge, and the judge could say no to this as well.
There are all kinds of ways to enforce, selective ways to enforce law. Some folks out there have the understanding or the belief about the legal system that simply because someone is charged with something, or simply that cops have to enforce the law. That's the theory. But the practice is that they enforce the laws that they want to enforce, that they feel like enforcing on that day. Surely you have seen, or surely you have been in a situation where you've broken the law and a cop has let you off. Surely you have been in a situation, some of you, where you got charged with something and you had a friend in the prosecuting attorney's office and the case didn't go anywhere. Surely. Surely. So, this is not about laws. This is about how our country decides to enforce the laws. And given how our country has historically, and I don't mean going back 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. I'm not talking about that, although it's included in this. I'm talking about the history of enforcement from yesterday. So here we are in 2007, 007. And there's a potential law in the book about the use of the N-word. And the question must become, how will this law be enforced? Will there be an enthusiastic enforcement in this law? You doggone Skippy. You doggone Skippy. There will be an enthusiastic enforcement of this. Why? Because it gives law enforcement yet another opportunity to get into our community and get at our children. And to get at us. And there was a law that was on the book that again, it's one of those things that is useful in terms of, it's useful to examine it in terms of its enforcement, to see if it was really about what it purported to be about. You can't sell drugs within 100 feet, 500 feet of a school. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Sounds like a good thing. It sounds like somebody's out there caring about the babies, right? And this law enhances the amount of time that you get if a person sells a joint to another person 500 feet of a school. They get more time than what they would if they sold it in a nursing home parking lot. Okay, give me. Now it sounds reasonable. This is a way to protect our children. No, it's about the enforcement of this. Do you know that law was used to charge people who were selling drugs in their apartment buildings that happened to be across the street from a school? So tell me if this was about the enforcement of and protection of our babies. Most 80% of the people that went to jail for more time for drugs under this law had nothing to do with any children. Some of the stuff took place at midnight. School not even in session, or in summer. School not even in session. What was it used for? To put more people in jail for longer periods of time. Selective enforcement. And mind you, everybody that, just about almost every place in the city of St. Louis is within 500 feet of a school. Because it's not, as you can see, it's as a crow flies. So there are all kinds of people that should have been charged with this extra time. And they weren't. And you got to ask yourself, why? Selective enforcement. And selective enforcement at the expense of one community over another. Come on now. So am I concerned about this ordinance? About banning the N-word and anybody that uses it is going to be fined? Of course I am. I know the history of this country, and I know the history of law enforcement in this country. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. My goodness gracious. You need to get to me. I'll be back after this.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The anthem, the brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. You might be wondering, are the presidential primaries next year or next week? Some of the leading candidates are already hitting the campaign trail. One of them is going to Iowa. ABC's Stephen Fortner is already there.
This is Hillary Clinton's first trip to Iowa in more than 3 years. A man who spent much more time here since then, former vice presidential candidate John Edwards, now leads Mrs. Clinton in most Iowa polls, and she's about tied with Barack Obama. Still, her first appearance as a presidential candidate in the state with the first presidential contest is sure to make a major splash. Reporters from as far away as Japan are said to be interested in covering this visit. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Des Moines.
Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani will be in New Hampshire. An ambulance speeds to the scene of a deadly bombing today in Baghdad. An explosion in a box full of pigeons at a busy airport. At least 14 people are dead. Many more are hurt. Iraq tops President Bush's agenda today. He'll meet with top military advisors. The Senate, meanwhile, debates more resolutions against the president's plans.
The Senate is trying to hammer out exactly what a resolution rebuking President Bush's war strategy will say. The Democrats' version says no more troops should be sent, period. The Republicans are more mild. Their version would support an increase to fight al-Qaeda in the Anbar province, but oppose a troop surge in Baghdad.
ABC's Maya Kalicki. At least 2 people are dead, 7 hurt after an explosion in the parking lot of a Marriott hotel in Islamabad, Pakistan, a popular place for foreigners to stay.
It is unusual for there to be attacks here in the capital. This is a relatively quiet, sleepy city that does not see the kind of violence that is routine in the frontier city of Peshawar or down in the port city of Karachi.
ABC's Gretchen Peters in Islamabad. Blues legend B.B. King is in the hospital in Galveston, Texas. He missed a performance last night, but he is expected to be released today or tomorrow. This is ABC News.
How are the tires on your Ford Lincoln or Mercury? Is it time for new ones, or maybe just a rotation?
I can help. I got two strong bones. I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy 4 Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver package on us. That's a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand, I can assure you.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
This is a discovery that could lead to some major new findings on addiction. ABC's Richard Cantu has the story.
Researchers got interested when the survivor of a stroke told his doctors he simply forgot his 2-pack-a-day cigarette addiction. No cravings, no nicotine patches, not even a conscious desire to quit. The scientists scanned the brains of 69 smokers and ex-smokers and found that damage to a silver dollar-sized spot deep in the brain called the insula seemed to wipe out the urge to smoke. The finding could lead to new anti-smoking aids and play a key role in other addictions. The finding is reported in Friday's edition of the journal Science. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Now, this is the news that high school seniors wait for. Word they've been accepted to their number one choice in college, and thousands who want to go to the University of North Carolina got it recently via email. Just one problem, they hadn't been accepted yet. They were waitlisted, and they're really not going to find out until March. School messed up, it says. Yeah, it's embarrassed, as you might assume. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a local investigator is accused of manhandling a motorist. 35-year-old police detective John Lair of Allerton is charged with aggravated impersonating of a police officer, unlawful restraint, and drunken driving. Belleville police say Lair identified himself as a sheriff's deputy and ordered the woman from her car, then tried to force her into his own vehicle. Authorities say the woman managed to flee and call police. Lair is in custody on $50,000 bond. A local woman claims she was fired over an article of clothing. Daphne Jones of University City had worked for Healthcare Strategic Initiatives near Maryland Heights. The week before Martin Luther King Day, the company's human resources director had told her to stop wearing a button that read, "I love being black." Jones says she was only celebrating a national holiday. The following week, the company fired her. HSI denies the claims but has refused to give a reason why Jones lost her job. Finally this hour, the Blues kick off the second half of the NHL season tonight as they host the Detroit Red Wings at Scott Trade Center. The Note finished the first half on a three-game winning streak and earned points in their last seven games overall. The Blues are 12-4-4 since Andy Murray became head coach of the team. Game time is 7 o'clock tonight in St. Louis. This WGNU News report is sponsored by Candy Bouquet at 620 North Skinker. Remember, flowers are nice, balloons are okay. For a lasting impression, send a candy bouquet. Phone 314-863-CANDY or visit candybouquet.com for a location near you. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 7 o'clock hour. Northbound 270 at Gravois through Big Bend. Look for slowdowns around the 44 Exchange. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is starting to stack up. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing looks good. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center to Mason and also from Spady through McKnight, you can expect some delays. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79, look for some slowdowns there. And westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is starting to stack up just a touch. Northbound 270 from Dorset into 70, those 70 exit lanes are moving slow. And eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for some delays there, as well as 64 westbound from 15th Street into the 5570 merge. You can expect some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to blustery conditions, mostly sunny, but a high in the mid-50s this evening, partly cloudy in the evening, mostly cloudy overnight, low around 30. Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries with a high only in the mid-30s. Saturday evening, even colder yet, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries with a low around 15. Then on Sunday, mostly cloudy, colder in the morning and afternoon, partly sunny throughout the afternoon. However, the high will only be in the mid-20s, so it will be deceiving. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 29 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's Looking Black. And this is Riveting Radio with Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The end of the brother. Stop listening.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown, and we have a discussion that we need to have this morning. I have been talking all week about this meeting that is coming up on Tuesday. There's a very important meeting that's coming up on Tuesday at Harrisdow from 6 to 9. Desi is coming into town to hear from you why you oppose the state takeover. And before we get into this conversation about this, I want to tell you some things about what you need to do with that meeting. You need to be there, number one. And number two, you need to get there early enough that you can speak, because they're going to let people speak that sign up. And number three, when you get there, you need to have in your hand a piece of paper that says why you oppose, or that you oppose, this takeover or the subsequent nullification of your vote by a 3-member appointed board. Because they're going to be taking written statements. And here's the thing. They should come away from the city of St. Louis needing a tractor trailer to carry all of the pieces of paper that you bring with you to tell them why you are not in support of this. You don't have to write War and Peace. You can write a piece of paper on a piece of paper. I oppose the state takeover and the subsequent nullification of my vote. Sign your name, done and done. But they need to hear from you, and they need to feel what it is like to be in the city of St. Louis with the citizens and what we feel about this state takeover. So we're going to have this conversation this morning. Having said that, again, the meeting is Tuesday, January 30th from 6 to 9 at Harrisdow in the main auditorium right off of Laclede. This morning I have joining me in the studio is the president of the teachers union, Mary Armstrong. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and thanks for inviting me.
Certainly. This is a very, very, very critical meeting, isn't it?
Yes, and this is the first of many that we hope will happen in the city of St. Louis. I basically believe that this is an effort to dismantle the St. Louis public schools as we know it today and as we have known it before. What you are hearing are the special interest groups who could not defeat the ballot when the past two elections for school representatives on the board were elected and the money didn't matter. Now those who oppose this, now that they're no longer the majority on the school board, have an issue with governance and the academics of students, where for the past 3 years the academics of students was not even entertained and governance was not a problem. So we believe that we do not disenfranchise the voters in the city of St. Louis. They got out, they voted for those representatives that they want, and no one should do that, especially in this day and age where many of us who are blacks knew how hard people fought to get the right to vote. And we don't want it taken away.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Bishop Barclay E. Bailey of the Bible Way Church Complex invites you to a three-day dedication at the Resurrection and Life Christian Center, 1651 Redmond Road at Bell Fountain Road, Friday, January 26th through Sunday, January 28th. Doors open promptly at 7:30 Friday night. Keynote speaker is the Honorable Bishop David W. Maxwell of Lansing, Michigan. Don't miss this dynamite spirit-filled celebration. Call Pastor Lawrence Davis at 314-653-1701 for more information. That's 314-653-1701.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LeClean. Be there.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We're having a conversation this morning with the Teachers Union's president, Mary Armstrong. Mary, welcome back. Let's kind of start at the beginning of this, okay? The beginning of this with respect to meeting that we're going to have, that DESE is going to have on Tuesday. I have in front of me this special advisory committee on the St. Louis Public Schools, a report. Talk to us about how this report came to be.
Well, initially we had members of the board and special interests and the mayor who felt that the governance of the district was problematic, especially since the last election in April and the majority switched.
We also had an instance of where they had gone to the Commissioner of Education and complained about governance and academics and every other issue that you can think of, and had appealed for them to come into the city and take over the school district. They also had talked about the academics of the district and that we were failing the students, and that was another issue that they felt the state should come in. Now, you should know that the commissioner before then had said they had no statutory rights to come in because we were provisionally accredited and we would not be up for review until 2008. But with the mayor, the special interest, members of the board going to the state and demanding that they come in and look at this district, the commissioner, rather than make a decision then, formed a five-member panel that was to come in, and the charge was to look at the governance of the district, look at the academics of the district, and look at the finances of the district, and get come back with a recommendation to the commissioner, which would in turn make a recommendation to the State Board of Education.
And so what I'm hearing from you is that outside pressures really are causing something to happen that normally in the normal process and normal practices of things would not be happening.
That is correct. And you can witness that in the past two school board elections where money was not the issue, the grassroots campaigning, the coalition building by the stakeholders out in the city of St. Louis who had students in the district were able to defeat those with the money.
Mm-hmm. So the normal process would be what?
The election.
Okay, and then the normal process of assessing whether or not a school is fully accredited or not is takes how long, and what is that process?
We're up for review in 2008. Right now we're provisionally accredited. Dr. Borisaw has submitted six standards to DESE. Five of those have been approved. The sixth one, we are waiting on approval from DESE. If that is approved, then we would be provisionally accredited. We would not be up for full review until 2008.
So we're really jumping ahead. That what's being asked for now is really jumping ahead of the process.
Yes, it is. And there are 12 other school districts that are not accredited that they are not even attempting to look at before they jump to St. Louis Public School. But because we have been in the media and the soap opera has existed with our school board, pressure has been placed upon the commissioner and the State Board of Education to address the issues in St. Louis Public Schools.
Pressure that they're responding to, because pressure has been brought to them before.
Yes, it has been. That is so correct. If you remember 3 years ago when the management team came in, it was the same commissioner and Board of Education who granted Roberti provisional certification.
I remember very well because I was on a bus with hundreds and hundreds and
right.
hundreds of people that went up to Kent King to demand at that time that very thing, that do not grant a waiver to Bill Roberti because destruction will come to this district.
That is correct. And one of the things that Roberti did admit, he was not in here to deal with academics. He was only here to deal with the finances. And he could care less about academics.
And isn't that interesting that 3 years later, after he dealt just with the finance, the academic, all of the academic issues plummeted? I mean,
yes,
we lost accreditation.
When he came in, we were 2 points away from accreditation under Dr. Hammonds. We are now 25 points away. And the same four majority that allowed six superintendents to come in and change curriculum, I guess every time we got a new superintendent, academics was not the issue. The training of teachers to implement that curriculum was haphazard, where they were going to workshops for maybe 2 hours, learning about the program, and then going back to teach students, where everyone in elementary and high school had to be on the same page at the same time throughout the district, regardless of whether a student was behind, on level, or exceeded level.
And the other piece of this, we have something to look at to see how the state takes over a school district. We have the example of Wellston. And is the state following the same procedure that they established for Wellston while they're coming after us?
No, they're not. It's totally different. With Wellston, they appointed Dr. Brown to oversee the district.
But even before that, didn't they wait until it was time to evaluate
yes.
them for full accreditation?
Right. And one of the things when we asked why are they rushing to judgment with St. Louis and that was not done with Wellston, they said, well, they didn't have any data in order to do that. And even they created a new requirement that's in between provisional accreditation and unaccreditation for Wellston. So there's
what is the data that they're talking about that they didn't have for Wellston that they have now?
Well, you know, there are standards that each school district has to pass. It may be the post-secondary where those students are gone after they graduate from high school, the attendance, vocational education. It may be the MAP score. So there's a list of standards that each school district, when they go through accreditation, that they must meet. You must have at least 6 to be provisional. You have to have 9 in order to be fully accredited. So when you look at that, we were told that Wellston did not have a lot of data for the standards in which they were unaccredited.
How could they have not had that data?
I have no idea, but in St. Louis Public Schools, the problem that has been problematic for, I think, Dr. Borisaw and her administrative staff is that we have data for all of the school years. You have to have at least 5 years of data in order for them to go back and look at and see whether or not things have been done. But we did not have any data for 2003-2004, and that was when Roberti was here. The individuals who worked downtown to compile data, jobs were eliminated. In the high schools, we used to have senior counselors who tracked students to make sure that scholarships, they took SAT, ACT tests, whether their credits were in line. Those counselors were eliminated, and they were dispersed to all counselors in the school. So when you look at it, the data collection on the 6th standard that we're trying to get approved was not there.
So let's get to this report. Talk to me about the conclusions that this report has drawn.
There are recommendations. If the district is accredited, there are 3 situations that could happen. If it's unaccredited, there are 2 things. One of the things they talked about, if the district is no longer accredited, one of the things that could happen, they can monitor and advise the board and the administration of the St. Louis Public Schools. In other words, the school board would stay intact and the superintendent would still run the district. The second one would be that they would appoint a special advisory board, which would oversee the finances of the district. And in 2 years, if it's not accredited and it lapses, then they believe that they should go on to the potential for continued disagreement and lawsuits could possibly happen. The third one was to reestablish a 3-person transitional board that would oversee the district, that would nullify the school board, and possibly remove the superintendent. That's if we are unaccredited.
And who are the people that would who would make the decisions about the 3-person board?
The governor would have an opportunity to appoint, and he has already voiced his opinion on the state coming in, taking over the school district, his favor for vouchers, tuition tax credits, and charter schools. The mayor would have an appointment. He, too, has voiced the same. And the third one would be the president of the Board of Aldermen.
And this is such an interesting line in this report that these people came up with. It said that the mayor, the president of the Board of Aldermen, the government agree in advance to appoint 3 individuals, preferably local. So it raises the question of whether or not they would be bringing somebody else in from out of state.
Right.
And secondly, here's the line that is just fascinating to me, in whom the state board has total confidence that they will be expected to do a superior job and gain the confidence of the community. Huh? How would that happen? I mean, if they have that ability to do it, do something like that now.
Well, you know, the mayor did do something like that. We had 4 people who are on board, and we're in the situation we are now. We believe that the politics should be taken out of the appointment if that should occur, that you have an academic person. You have someone who knows about finances, and you also want to make sure that someone knows about governance. But if we rely on 2 of the 3 people to appoint, then we're in trouble as a district because they have already voiced their
We have a track record. We have a track record of their ability to make these appointments. It came from Francis Slade. Darnetta Klingstell would be a good person. It came from Francis Slade. Ron Jackson would be a great person. It came from Francis Slade. That Archibald and that Vince Shamo would be a great person. And look what happened to our district when Francis Slade had the ability to do that. This is who he brought us, and our district was destroyed as a result of it.
Yes, and there is one other thing, too, Liz, that we need to really look at and just call it what it is, call a spade a spade. It's about regentrification in the city of St. Louis, that the current complexion of the citizenry, student population is not what they want to have in the city of St. Louis in possibly the next 4 to 5 years.
But there's also the other piece of it, too, and that color is green. Okay,
yes.
We have hundreds of millions of dollars in a pot that could be controlled by the color brown.
Right. The St. Louis Public School has a $388 million budget.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this hour. Northbound Route 3 under the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for some delays. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, and then again from Spady through McKnight, you can expect some delays as well. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge, there's a slowdown there. Northbound 270 from 44 through Doherty Ferry, look for some delays. Bell Fountain at 270, look for a burst water main, so there may be some slowdowns or lane blockages there. Westbound 270 from New Florissant in the Graham Hanley, look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is easing this hour into the landing. Eastbound 70 from 270 in the St. Charles Rock Road, you can expect some delays. And northbound 270 from Dorset in the 70, those right exit lanes are a bit of a slowdown at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Blustering, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-50s for this evening. Partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 30. Then on Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy. Chance of flurries, the highs will only be in the mid-30s Saturday evening. Colder still, mostly cloudy with a chance of flurries and a low around 15. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day, but the high will only be in the mid-20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees and clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 30 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Bishop Barclay E. Bailey of the Bible Way Church Complex invites you to a three-day dedication at the Resurrection and Life Christian Center, 1651 Redmond Road at Bell Fountain Road, Friday, January 26th through Sunday, January 28th. Doors open promptly at 7:30 Friday night. Keynote speaker is the Honorable Bishop David W. Maxwell of Lansing, Michigan. Don't miss this dynamite spirit-filled celebration. Call Pastor Lawrence Davis at 314-653-1701 for more information. That's 314-653-1701.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 McLean. Be there.
around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning with President Mary Armstrong, Teachers Union President. And Mary, welcome back. Let's continue our conversation about this report. I'm looking at what the report from the Danforth and Freeman is asked or give what they said to Kent King. They're saying that DESE can ask the legislature, because none of this can happen without some law changes.
Right.
They absolutely need the legislature to change some laws for any of this stuff to happen. What are they asking for? What are they saying that DESE can't ask the legislature to do?
Well, if you look at it, the timing of the school board elections, the length of the school board election, the finances in the event that a district is has a deficit of $10,000 or more, that they would be considered unaccredited. There are several things that right now they don't believe they have firm footing to implement mm-hmm. without changing some of the legislation, and it would only be applicable to St. Louis Public School, not across the state.
Okay, so one of the things that they're saying is they want to make explicit how a school board district under a three-person board returns to local control. So they need the laws for that three-person board, the nullification component, to take place.
That is correct. And once they come in, there is not an exit strategy either. Once you establish that board and they come in, how do they get out? And that's problematic for the commissioner right now.
And also looking at the recommendation, because even though they're saying DESE can't act, mm-hmm. ask the legislature, clearly this is what they want DESE to do.
That is correct.
They want DESE to ask how to extend the term of the transitional board from 3 to 6 years. So there's exit strategy because they don't plan on leaving.
Right. And I do remember when I had pointed out some things about the finances, how long they think it's going to take to for this district to eliminate the deficit and be on firm footing, same 5 to 6 years.
Mm. And then also, this is interesting to me, clearly define the duties of the St. Louis Board and the superintendent, making sure that the superintendent operates under the policy set by the board, and the board hires the superintendent and sets policies. That's already defined right now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But
already.
What we have a problem with is that there are some members on the board who are trying to micromanage the district and micromanage the superintendent, and that's currently a violation of state statute.
And I would really take exception to the word manage.
Okay.
Okay. I just think that there it would be micro meddling.
Okay.
From my perspective, because
okay, your word.
I don't see any management going on okay. in this stuff. And the other piece of this is interesting to me, and it's interesting from a historical perspective. They're saying that they want the timing of the school board elections to occur during the general elections because, and then they say this, the change seems wise since less than 12% of the eligible voters voted in the last school board election. Well, don't we have a compare and contrast? How many people voted in Francis Slay's election?
Less than 12%, about 11% of the population.
So less than 12% voted in Francis's election, and now we're supposed to change the school board elections because 12% voted?
And you must remember that the state legislature has a provision that all school districts hold their school board elections on the first Tuesday in April.
And there's a reason
for that.
And
that's to take it away from the general election so you can concentrate on the importance of what school boards do in managing each community's respective district.
And one of the problems that we have right now is because of the size of this board. We only have 7 people on it. Therefore, you can get 4 people to shut it down.
Yes, you can.
You can get 4 people to shut down the progress, shut down the growth, shut down the education, shut down everything that matters. It didn't used to be like this.
No, when we have 12 members, it forced them to compromise
yep.
and to work together.
Yep.
I'm not sure how many remember when we used to have the 4 candidates that from the Southside Citizen Council that were elected in total, but those 4 could not operate as a majority. So you did have to get them to work together in order to do what was best for this district.
And
right now, that is not happening.
It is, and it hasn't happened. And there's another point that I think that we need to make here. When someone in who has the authority, and the language that the report uses, I think, is very good language in terms of what DESE is supposed to do. It says that a major responsibility of DESE is to monitor the school districts and to decide whether they are accredited, provisionally accredited, or non-accredited. This decision has major consequences. Well, has DESE looked at this district and seeing that what has happened in the last 3 years is an anomaly, and not only an anomaly statewide, but an anomaly nationwide? I don't know of a single school district in the nation that has lost 26 accreditation points in 3 years. And if you are assessing this in terms of an anomaly, shouldn't you be asking the question of, okay, if this is an anomaly, then why don't we just change the things that made this to occur instead of concluding that the entire system is broke?
Well, I think they have been ignoring St. Louis for the longest, and as we said, one of their charges is to make sure that the students are getting a quality education. That has been remiss in their obligation as a commissioner and as a board. And didn't want to come in here. You have to remember also that this same State Board of Education and Commissioner took over the Kansas City School District back in 2001
mm-hmm.
with a 3-member board, and it did not work well at all. So
we have a history.
Well, there is a history of them taking over a school district, and they really don't want to come in here, but there is so much pressure being put on them by special interests and money, as you said before, that now they're trying to say, well, we're concerned about those poor children down there in the city of St. Louis. Well, they haven't been concerned in the past 3 years.
And let us remember our political history. Matt Blunt said that only Democrats live there and nobody wants to live in St. Louis anyway.
Yeah, I remember that as well. And then you also have to remember that the mayor on his blog said there are 2 decisions that you have to decide on, whether it's the ballot or the education of the children. How can you say have someone to choose? It should be both.
And the other piece of it is that Francis Slade made the most phenomenal. I don't know that any politician in the history of politics in America has ever made such a statement, and particularly not taken fully to task for it. On the day that 1,200 people lost their jobs in the St. Louis public schools, mm-hmm. an elected official celebrated mm-hmm. and said, "It is a great day." What politician in the history of America has ever celebrated the loss of jobs in their own city?
Not in the history of this city, or none that I know of. And you also have to remember that this very same mayor came out and blamed the ills of the decline in the city of St. Louis on the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the public schools is probably the last bastion of support in our community. And once they're able to dismantle that, you can look around our community. The stores are gone. The restaurants are gone. You don't have any of the things that when I grew up that were in our neighborhood that was there, that was like stabilizing forces.
And we also have to talk about an historical, emotional, an intangible stabilization, because businesses are visual stabilization.
Right.
The intangible stabilization that is not there now is the commitment or the connection to the history that you have with that high school.
That is correct.
The history that you have with that elementary school. And if you have that emotional, intangible connection, then you want to do things to make certain that somebody else can share in that experience and share in that positive thing that happened to you. If you don't have that because you have been scattered to the four winds or that it didn't exist anymore, then that's another reason or another way that a community cannot be rebuilt. Belt.
That is so correct. And, you know, my parents grew up in an area when they used to have Mill Creek over there by mm-hmm. Harris Stowe now. Mm-hmm. And they had promised those individuals that when they built Laclede Town that they would be able to move into those homes and they would have affordable housing. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
And it's doing the same thing again. As you look around the city of St. Louis and you look at the resurgence in building homes and building apartments and building lofts in the downtown area, the individuals that are being displaced in our neighborhoods are not going to be the ones that are going to be assuming those households.
And there's a reason for that.
No, it isn't.
And there's a reason why they're being displaced.
Yes, it is. You know, there was a conversation that we had had with a prominent official in the city of St. Louis, and we were talking about what was happening with our students and them moving into Riverview Garden, Hazelwood School District, and that they were going where there was affordable housing. And his reply to us was, how fast can we get them out of the city?
Mm. We'll be back. Stay with us. For all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance. Insurance where we work to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look. This is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe University in the main auditorium at 3026 Laclede. Be there.
The brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I just want to give you a heads up on the upcoming hours. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to some women. that are, at least one woman that is going, that is facing jail time for going to the School of Americas and protesting. We're going to be talking to her. There's a big rally and protest going on in Georgia. We're going to be talking to a woman that is facing jail time for doing that, and she's from right here in Kirkwood. Also, then, in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to journalist Sarah Olson. Who is Sarah Olson? She published an exclusive interview with Army First Lieutenant Aaron Watada. Who's Aaron Watada? He is the highest-ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy to Iraq. And guess what? The military wants Sarah Olson to come in and testify against Lieutenant Watada. We're going to be talking to Sarah Olson in the next hour. Right now I'm talking to Mary Armstrong, president of the Teachers Union. We're talking about this upcoming meeting, hearing at Harris Stowe at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. And Mary, talk to us about that hearing. How important is that?
It's very important. If you recall, during the winter break, I guess before January, there are several of activists, politicians had gathered in front of the Board of Education building requesting that the commissioner and the state board have an open hearing for the stakeholders who have students in St. Louis Public Schools or without having students in the school district to ask questions, to give comments, and before the state board took any action against the district. Now, in this report, and for those who have access to the Internet, this report can be found at www.slps-committee.org, that they needed to allow individuals to come and speak. This was not done when the Danforth and Freeman committee had their meetings in public.
Well, they say that they surveyed people. Talk to us about that survey.
Well, there was one survey that was done by Vector Communications, which we believe is biased and unscientific, where they had a certain number of people that they interviewed and asked specific questions. One question in particular was the participant, how many of them own their own homes? And it indicated that 70% of those who participated own their homes. Well, that is not representative of the city or the students whose parents are in the city of St. Louis.
I don't know of a district in the state of Missouri where 70% of the people that go to that school own their own home.
Right.
I don't know of a group of people where 70% of them own their own home, unless you're talking homeowners.
Right. And it was also told to us that this survey took place over 2 days, 48 hours.
They had a 48-hour survey? Now, tell me this isn't true, Mary. Tell me this isn't true. Did these folks get paid for this?
There were 40 teachers that they pulled from the list of employees that the district provided to Vector Communications, where they were paid $75, I believe, an hour to participate in this survey. The administrators that were selected only were not paid. And one of the things to note about the administrators that were there, they had 26, but most of them had less than a year and a half of experience or working with the St. Louis Public Schools.
So most of the administrators that they had didn't have a full year of working in the St. Louis Public Schools, and they were asking them questions about the governance of, are you happy with?
Yes, ma'am.
So it's like asking an employee that's on probation, basically.
Correct, yes.
So how does a business run? Tell me about the business that you work for. You haven't even worked for you're not even on probation yet.
And possibly does not know the history of this district, let alone the school in which they're working.
How could they? Because they haven't been here.
Right.
So this is the survey, a survey that took place over 48 hours.
That's what we're told.
Most of the 70% of the participants own their own home, and that's significant because what's significant? Because that says what?
That most of them didn't live in the city of St. Louis.
So most of the people didn't live in the city of St. Louis.
Well, they may have, but they are not typical of the parents. That attend St. Louis Public Schools.
And they're not typical of the citizens of the city of St. Louis.
Right, that is correct.
70% of the citizens of the city of St. Louis don't own their own home.
That's correct.
1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to a couple of callers here. You're on the wake-up call.
Thanks, Liz. Mary, please explain to me where does Attorney Jay Nixon place in this with this DSEG money, and will my vote be null and void if the the state takes over, because I elected the board, and will they take away my vote?
Nullification is the word, Martha.
Okay, the first one, let's talk about Jay Nixon. Right now you know that there's $120-plus million that's being withheld from the St. Louis Public Schools that is due to this district. If that money was turned over, and this was part of the settlement, the DSEG settlement, if this district had that $120-plus million, we would not be a financially distressed district. And if this three-member board comes in and takes over, in essence, it does nullify your vote for those school board members that you elected to run this school district.
And the city of St. Louis is also involved in a suit with districts all across the state,
right,
about the funding.
Right. Right now, this the state of Missouri has not fully funded the foundation formula. What they have done is said that they would fund it over 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, it would be 100% funded. It's creating havoc throughout the state for those districts who are having problems financially.
And let's do a little bit of numbers crunching here. How much money is owed from the DSEG?
About $120-plus million.
And how much money is at stake with the lawsuit that is going on right now?
Oh, I can't even fathom the amount of money, because it's a large amount. And to sit up here and say how much would be owed to St. Louis Public Schools is a large amount of money. That too,
we're talking millions.
Yes, we are talking millions, and that too would help eliminate the deficit. When a district is financially distressed, 3% of its operating budget has to be held in reserve. Right now, our school district is $23 million with a deficit, but we do have. A balanced budget where our revenues that are coming into the district is balanced with the expenditures of the district.
But wait a minute. Didn't Bill Roberti, the person that Kent King allowed to be given a waiver and sit in the seat of a superintendent, even though he had never been a superintendent and never will be a superintendent anywhere, didn't he get $49 million from the DSEG money?
Yes, they did.
And we're still in debt?
We're still in debt. And
what do you do with the money?
I have no idea, but I do know.
Does anybody know what he did with the $49 million? And we're $23 million in debt, and he borrowed $49 million that we have to pay back.
That is correct, and we start July 1st paying the first installment of 7 installments, and that's $7 million that is due July 1st, 2007.
So not only did he not fix the debt, he created a new multi-million-dollar debt for this district.
Yes, and we believe that no one really watched to see or check what was being done while he was here.
And that's the other piece. We're going back to what the responsibility of DESE is, that they stated in this report.
Right.
DESE didn't monitor a man who wasn't a superintendent, that they gave in a complete waiver to. They didn't monitor him at all.
And
Jay Nixon, who allowed him, because Jay Nixon didn't have to let him have the money from the DSEG money.
That is correct.
Jay Nixon didn't monitor him either.
Right, that is correct. And as we look at all of this, what has happened over the past 3 years, really no one has really been looking at it and paying attention. It wasn't until that 4 majority on the school board no longer were the majority that all of the concerns and the state coming in is really being talked about.
And when you say nobody was paying attention to it, the citizens have all been paying. There has been a clamor coming from this district from the moment that from the press conference. I know, because I was at the press conference. From the press conference of Bill Roberti to now, this community has been fully engaged in what has been the assault that has been inflicted upon it.
That's right. And our two most adamant, outspoken board members now, Archibald and Jackson, hardly opened their mouth in the previous 3 years.
Date, time of this hearing with DESE. What is the date and the time?
The date is this coming Tuesday. It's from 6 to 9 at Harris Stowe State Teachers College. Well, it's not Teachers College anymore, but it's in the main auditorium. And we're asking all stakeholders, parents, students, business leaders, clergy, anyone who has an interest in St. Louis Public Schools, to come out and exercise your right to speak up and speak out.
And to let them know that the citizens are not in support of this.
Right. That is so true.
And all the teachers going to be there?
We're asking all employees, teachers, safety officers, teacher assistants, downtown administrative staff, because it's our future and it's the future of the students that we're entrusted to educate.
How about, is it possible for teachers to engage in some kind of teaching exercise with their kids, to have the kids write a statement about this?
I don't see why they wouldn't. You can tie that into writing. You can tie that into governance, governmental affairs.
Nullification.
Voting Rights Act, all of that. A teacher can take this whole process and have many lessons about what is happening in the city of St. Louis and using our history to say whether we're moving forward or backwards.
And then bring some of those things that were written by the kids and present those to the
Yes, because anything you can present to the State Board of Education at this hearing, you can submit a written statement and they will accept it. And we also know that that's going to be recorded, so and we want it presented to State Board of Education members. We're inviting them to come to this meeting to listen to the citizenry, and this is an opportunity to let them know that you're dissatisfied with what's going on in the St. Louis Public Schools.
Thank you, Mary Armstrong, and I will see you on Tuesday.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, we'll be back. Stay with me.
Yes, many are denied.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The election is not until a year from this November, and it's still a year till the presidential primaries. But if this weekend is any indication, we'll know the candidates very well by the time it comes to vote for one of them. Some are beating a path to New Hampshire. Here's ABC's Erin Katursky.
Pictures of politicians line the wall of the Red Arrow Diner, a frequent campaign stop for presidential candidates. But Elaine, who has worked the third shift here for the last 20 years, and her customers say it is unusual for so much to be happening so soon.
The campaign stuff, that doesn't usually start this early, does it? It seems like it would be
starting earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
Rudy Giuliani campaigns here this weekend, Hillary Clinton next weekend, and many candidates have hired staff in this state a year before the first in the nation primary. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Shocked survivors cry at the scene of a horrific attack today in Baghdad. At least 14 people were killed when a bomb hidden in a box of pigeons exploded at a busy animal market. President Bush is huddling with his military leaders today, discussing plans for a troop surge in Iraq. The Senate considers several resolutions against the strategy. Crews clean up the parking lot of the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad, Pakistan, where two people died in an attack earlier today.
Suicide bomber tried to enter the hotel. He was stopped by a guard, and both of them were killed in the explosion, and there were also two injuries. That's about all the information we have. We don't have any information about who the suicide bomber was, whether he represented a group or not, what was his reason for targeting the Marriott Hotel.
ABC's Barbara Plett in Islamabad. By 2003, California will completely ban the most common chemical used by dry cleaners. The fluid will be phased out starting next year. The state is still debating what the alternative will be. This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service only at your dealership.
I got two strong arms. I can help.
We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
And now a game time update from Walmart. With their oven mitt skillets and chip and dip bowls, they stand ready. Like warriors off to battle, these party throwers bust open bags of chips, arrange deli platters, cook, take, and bake pizzas, all in preparation for the big game. Their fans have gathered to taste victory. And that famous seven-layer bean dip, because it's game time. They've been to Walmart, and they're prepared to put on a show like never before.
Pepsi, Doritos, Cheez-Its, Chex Mix, and Planters Peanuts are conveniently located at our game time party display. Many on rollback. Look for it at Walmart.
If you flew anywhere last year, chances are you were late in getting to your destination. More from ABC News National Correspondent Jim Hickey in Washington.
It'll be about another 3 minutes before I can have you airborne.
A rash of bad weather, crowded skies, and passenger demand all accounted for a reported sharp increase in airline delays.
And hold.
USA Today reports that last year those delays exceeded the lag time of 7 years ago, which was so bad Congress threatened to take action.
Runway 33 left. Could land.
FAA records show commercial flights were delayed a total of more than 22 million minutes in the past 12 months. That computes to more than 42 years.
Runway 27 cleared for takeoff.
Jim Hickey, ABC News, Washington.
Is there you say you're not getting enough of a jolt from your morning cup of coffee? A scientist in Durham, North Carolina, who also likes to bake, says he's come up with a donut that's chock full of caffeine, not to mention the other good stuff, the sugar and the fat. He's now pitching the product to Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandsmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a man accused of attempting to murder a Metro East girl testified via videotape yesterday. Sam Shelton said that 17-year-old Ashley Reese became unruly after he tried to break off their relationship while driving last April. He said he pulled the vehicle over and tried to eject her from the car. That's when he said her neck snapped and then her body went limp. He said he wanted to take her to the hospital, but he knew all fingers would be pointing at him and decided to dump the body. He told police where to find Reese 2 days later. The 26-year-old Shelton has pleaded not guilty of attempted murder. He is free after having posted bond. Reeves is still recovering from her injuries. An outing to sell Girl Scout cookies turned dangerous earlier this week. Terry Tedder took his 8-year-old daughter around their neighborhood on Tuesday night to sell the cookies. After they knocked on the door of one neighbor's house in the 4400 block of Hamburg, a 78-year-old woman opened the door and pointed a shotgun at them, then chased them with a loaded weapon. No shots were fired and no one was injured, but police confiscated the gun. The unidentified neighbor said she brought the weapon to the door because a stranger had been harassing her. Finally this hour, someone in South St. Louis County is $254 million richer. The winning Powerball ticket was purchased at Deerburg South Roads on Tesson Ferry. It is the only ticket to match these numbers, 9, 19, 29, 42, 53, with a Powerball number of 17. The winner will be able to choose between taking the prize in 30 payments or in a lump sum. The store will get $50,000 for selling the winning ticket. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic real quick here. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270. Look for slow traffic due to a disabled vehicle. Shoulders blocked. It's on the ramp to northbound 70. It's the left shoulder. Westbound 70 between North City Expressway and Blanchette Bridge. Look for a traffic building due to a disabled vehicle. Right shoulder is blocked. And the right lane is blocked as well. Westbound 270 at 367 in West Florissant. Stop and go traffic due to an accident in the right lane. And that's at Washington Elizabeth. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. And again, between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for delays. And eastbound 70 from Cave Spring, or from Earth City Expressway all the way to St. Charles Rock Road. Look for some delays. Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect no delays. And westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to blustery, not quite as cool. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-50s. This evening, partly cloudy in the evening. Mostly cloudy overnight. Low around 30 for Saturday. Mostly cloudy, colder. Chance of flurries, high in the mid-30s Saturday evening. Colder yet, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries with low around 15. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, but the high will only be in the 20s. Currently, we have 31 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air, air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. Much business to tend to. These are amazing times that we live in. These are extraordinary times that we live in. And these are dangerous times that we live in. I can't believe that in the course of my life, that I now have to worry about whether or not the government is wiretapping my phone. I don't have to worry about it as a paranoid fantasy. I have to worry about it as an actuality. I have to worry about the fabulous internet that allows us to be and to see and to know so much. I have to live in a time where my government is trying to be and to see and to know so much about where I go on the internet. I have to live at a time where my government says, in all sincerity, straight face boldness, with no shame. My government says torture is good. Torture is useful. We should be able to torture. Trust us. Trust the man with the black hood. Trust us. And I have to say that many of the things that I have said, if not all of the things that I have said, have been said and done to us in the name of a war that is not about us. And we need to think about that. We need to think about that, and we need to know all of the things that are being done by our good government in the name of a war that has nothing to do with us and illegal. They say it's a war, it's an occupation. And that same government that wants to tap us, that wants to follow us, that wants to hound us, also wants to hound others who stand up against this war. I'm talking about First Lieutenant Aaron Watada, the highest ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy to Iraq. What is our good government doing right now? Well, it appears our good government is going after a journalist who published a report on First Lieutenant Erin Wattada. They're trying to get her to testify against him. Up is down, left is right, black is white. These are amazing times that we're living in. When we come back, we're going to be talking to that journalist, Sarah Olson. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Bishop Barclay E. Bailey of the Bible Way Church Complex invites you to a three-day dedication at the Resurrection and Life Christian Center, 1651 Redmond Road at Bell Fountain Road, Friday, January 26th through Sunday, January 28th. Doors open promptly at 7:30 Friday night. Keynote speaker is the Honorable Bishop David W. Maxwell of Lansing, Michigan. Don't miss this dynamite spirit-filled celebration. Call Pastor Lawrence Davis at 314-653-1701 for more information. That's 314-653-1701.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LeClean. Be there.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, were killed and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Every one of you, my dear brother, when you go home, is what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. Join the Urban League. Join the All-African People's Revolutionary Party.
us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join Bush. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is Sarah Olson, and I have to give you a heads up on my guest for next hour before we get to Sarah. I'm sure that some of you have heard about this, and maybe some of you have not heard about this. There's a woman here in the city of St. Louis. This is going to be a national and international story. Daphne Jones. Daphne Jones was fired from her job because of a button she wore to work. On Martin Luther King's birthday, the week before Martin Luther King's birthday, Daphne, Ms. Jones, wore a button that said, "I love being black." Her boss says it's the same thing as wearing a swastika to work. Oh, we're going to talk about that. Daphne's going to be joining me in the studio. We're going to be talking about that, and she doesn't have her job anymore. What year is this? 2007. So you don't want to miss that hour. That's why they call this riveting radio. I'm talking to Sarah Olson this morning, and again, there are amazing things going on in the world that we live in. Sarah is a journalist who published an exclusive interview with Army First Lieutenant Aaron Watada, the highest-ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy to Iraq. Now the U.S. Army wants Olson to be their witness in the First Lieutenant's upcoming court-martial. Sarah Olson, good morning.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you here. Sarah, can you give us some, can you start at the beginning, can you start with in the beginning of First Lieutenant Aaron Watada? Tell us about him.
Sure. Well, First Lieutenant Aaron Watada became the highest-ranking member of the military and the first commissioned officer to refuse to deploy to Iraq last June. He held a press conference on June 7th, and he announced that he had decided the Iraq war was illegal and that it was immoral, and that he said that to participate in it would make him party to war crimes. On June 22nd, he was ordered to go to Iraq, and he refused to do so. And he was formally charged on July 5th, and he's now facing a court-martial. It's coming up on February 5th, and he faces five charges. One is not going to Iraq, missing troop movement. The next is, and all four other charges are based on our conduct on becoming an officer and a gentleman, and they're based on statements Lieutenant Watada made to individual journalists and to the public regarding his opposition to the Iraq War. Now, in May of 2006, last year, I sat down with Lieutenant Watada just a few weeks before he was public with his opposition to the Iraq War, and we did an interview. And I'm just going to share with you a couple of things that he said in the interview, just with regards to his, kind of development in terms of deciding that he had felt that the Iraq War was not something that he could support. He talks about, having been ordered to deploy to Iraq, and, you know, he had about a year to prepare for it. And he said one of the things he did was to, just start educating himself, start reading, everything he could get his hands on. One of the books he read was James Bamford's Pretext for War, and he says, you know, as I read about it, the level of deception of the Bush administration used to initiate and process this war, I was shocked. And he says, my mind was in turmoil. Do I follow orders and participate in something that I believe to be wrong? When you join the Army, you learn to follow orders without question. soldiers are apolitical and you don't voice your opinion out loud. And I started asking, why are we dying? Why are we losing limbs? For what? I listened to the president and his deputies say we were fighting for democracy. We were fighting for a better Iraq. I just started to think about those things. Are those things the real reasons that we were there? The real reasons we were dying? But I felt there was nothing to be done, and this administration just continually was continually violating the law to serve their purpose, and there was nothing to stop them.
And didn't he also make an assessment of whether this is a legal or a moral war?
He did. Lieutenant Watada, you know, he cited the Constitution. he cited, let's go through it. In our interview with Lieutenant Watada, he said, you know, first he thought that the war was based on false pretenses. To quote, he says, if the president tells us we're there to destroy Saddam's weapons of mass destruction and there are none, why are we there? Then the president said Saddam had ties to al-Qaeda in 9/11. That allegation has been proven to be false, too. So why were we going there? Then he says that the war is not legal according to domestic and international law. It violates the Constitution, the War Powers Act, the UN Charter, the Geneva Convention, the Nuremberg Principles, all bar wars of aggression. And then he says the occupation itself is also illegal, according to the Army Field Manual. So, you know, he has cited, he's laid out his position. And
did he say, you know, so did he write this out, and did he present a document of some sort to say, this is why I won't follow the order to deploy to Iraq, and this is why I won't do this? Or did he just make a statement?
Well, Lieutenant Watada held a press conference on June 7th, and he, you know, he certainly has had some opportunities to make his case that this war violates national, domestic, and international law. He had an Article 32 hearing where a number of kind of people in a position to know were able to testify. Dennis Halliday testified, Anne Wright, a couple of other people, you know, spoke specifically about the legality of the war and whether or not it, you know, had violated laws. But it's interesting because Lieutenant Watada, this is his defense. He is saying, you know, I was unable to go to the war because I felt this. War was illegal, thus the, you know, the order that I was given was illegal. I felt it was, you know, and he's saying I felt it was my duty as an officer to not deploy to Iraq.
Now, is this, I'm sorry if I can interrupt just for a second, because is this different than when Muhammad Ali refused to go? The grounds for this are different. This is a different thing because he's a commissioned officer refusing to deploy. Right?
That's right. Things are probably a little bit different for Lieutenant Watada in the sense that he is a commissioned officer and, you know, he is thus somewhat more higher in profile. He is also subject to a slightly different set of military laws when he... because you're an officer. So, you know, there are some different things, and, you know, certainly the context is different. As I said, Lieutenant Watada is the highest ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy, and I think that that's a fairly significant thing.
And we have to take a break right now, Sarah. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to Sarah Olson. She's a journalist who published an exclusive interview with First Lieutenant Aaron Watada, the highest-ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy to Iraq, and now the Army wants Olson to be their witness in Lieutenant Watada's upcoming court-martial. We'll be back with this conversation. You don't want to go anywhere.
morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your weather and your traffic. This hour's traffic looks like this. Westbound 270 between 367 and Washington Elizabeth. Look for stop-and-go traffic. There's an accident that's been cleared at Washington Elizabeth. However, there is stop-and-go traffic, so just use caution and slow down. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. And again, from Maryville Center through 270, look for some delays, especially Maryville Center from there through 270. You've got an accident just west of 270. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Bell Fountain at 270, the burst water main. And eastbound 70, approaching 270 and St. Charles Rock Road, you can expect delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing. Westbound 5570 is moving well onto the PSB. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for delays. And also Route 3, that approach onto the Poplar Street Bridge is a little slow at this hour. And northbound 270 at 44 all the way to Doherty Ferry around the 44 exchange. You've got some delays there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Blustering, mostly sunny day. High in the mid-50s, though. This evening, partly cloudy until early morning, then becoming mostly cloudy with a low of around 30. Saturday, colder, mostly cloudy. Chance of flurries, high in the mid-30s. Sunday, or Saturday evening, cloudy and colder still with a chance of flurries. The low will be around 15. Then on Sunday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, but it'll be deceiving because the high will only be in the mid-20s. Currently we have 33 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 32, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Riveting Radio. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Bishop Barclay E. Bailey of the Bible Way Church Complex invites you to a three-day dedication at the Resurrection and Life Christian Center, 1651 Redmond Road at Bell Fountain Road, Friday, January 26th through Sunday, January 28th. Doors open promptly at 7:30 Friday night. Keynote speaker is the Honorable Bishop David W. Maxwell of Lansing, Michigan. Don't miss this dynamite spirit-filled celebration. Call Pastor Lawrence Davis at 314-653-1701 for more information. That's 314-653-1701.
People can't stop talking about the remarkable results they get with their Bowflex Tread Climber machine.
I lost over 20 pounds working out on the Tread Climber.
I've lost almost 10 inches off my waist.
The Bowflex Tread Climber machine combines the stepping motion of a stepper with the walking motion of a treadmill. It's the low-impact way to burn up to twice the calories of a treadmill at the same speed.
It's really strengthened my core, my abs, and there's no impact on my joints.
Call 1-800-888-7635 for a free information. DVD.
I'm in better shape now than I was 20 years ago.
Get a Bowflex Tread Climber machine for no money down and payments as low as $24 a month.
I'm 40 and I am in the best shape of my adult life.
Be lean, be fit, be Bowflex. For a free DVD, call 1-800-888-7635. 1-800-888-7635. On approved Bowflex credit card purchases, monthly payment is 1.5% of the purchase plus any late fees. The number of months you pay and total amount of minimum monthly payments depends on additional purchase and account balances. Call for details.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look. This is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LeClede. Be there.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun. Even with the darkness shall come.
Keep your head up, baby. This is Liz Brown.
wake-up call. Listen, folks, in the next hour, I'm going to be having a conversation with Daphne Jones. She says she was fired from her job a week before Martin Luther King's birthday because she was celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday, and she wore to work a button that says, "I love being black." And she was fired from her job. She's going to be joining me in the studio at 9 o'clock. Right now I'm having a conversation with journalist Sarah Olson, independent journalist. She interviewed First Lieutenant Aaron Watata, the highest-ranking member of the military, and he is the highest-ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy to Iraq. Now the Army wants Olson to be their witness in Lieutenant Watata's upcoming court-martial. Sarah, you talked about the Article 32 hearing, and that was the first step that they needed, that the military needed to get to the a court-martial. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, let's kind of walk through that. Essentially, what happened was that, you know, Lieutenant Watata was charged on July 5th. He's now facing up to 6 years in prison if he's convicted on all charges. And just again, the charges are one count is for missing troop movement. That's refusing to deploy to Iraq. And there's four charges of conduct unbecoming an officer. Each of those four charges is based on things Lieutenant Watata has said about his reasons for refusing to deploy to Iraq in the media to individual journalists like myself or in public places at the Veterans for Peace Convention and so on. And so what happened was that, you know, in order to kind of make those charges stick, the Army has sent, formally served myself and another journalist with a subpoena that happened just after they convened the court-martial in late November. I was subpoenaed on December 14th, and they have placed a number of other journalists on the witness list. They're not formally subpoenaed yet, but they are still on the witness list. And so, you know, kind of, the Army has gone through its procedures, and yes, as you say, the Article 32 hearing happened back in August. That was just a place where they, you know, kind of had a legal hearing to find out if they had enough evidence to proceed with the court-martial. Then in January, January 4th and 5th, they had a pretrial hearing. Both myself and another journalist were expected to appear at the pretrial hearing as well, but no. At the last minute, a judge ruled that that was no longer necessary. And so in the pretrial hearing, the defense asked to have all of the conduct unbecoming charges dismissed, and they also asked to present the legality of the war during the court-martial as their defense. Both of these motions were denied, and so now Lieutenant Watata is facing a court-martial, again, coming up February 5th through the 9th, and we are, you know, if convicted of all charges, he will be facing 6 years in prison. If convicted of just, you know, and there's, if convicted of the speech-related charges, he's facing up to 4 years in prison. So we are now in a place in 2006 where a person is facing up to 4 years in prison for personal political speech.
And part of the charges against Lieutenant Watata is that conduct unbecoming of officer and a gentleman and making contemptuous statements against the president? Is that part of the charge?
Yeah, the Army had initially charged Lieutenant Watata with making a contemptuous statements. Interestingly, they dropped those charges after, you know, just before they convened the court-martial in November. So he was initially charged with those things, but he's no longer charged with that. It's just the conduct of becoming an officer.
And the failure to deploy? That's part of the conduct of becoming?
Nope, that's a separate charge, and that will be... you know, that's just kind of a basic missing troop movement. You know, that's just refusing to go to Iraq.
Is there any defense to that? Is there a defense to that
in the military, in the eyes of the military?
Well, you know, that's probably a question for a military expert and not for me. You know, certainly, you know, Lieutenant Watada thinks that there is a defense. His lawyer thinks that there is a defense.
Well, then let's come back to you, because to me this is very, very unique. I mean, people can ask the question of what rights and what obligations do you as a journalist have, but don't we have one more layer that makes it even more challenging, that this is within a military court? So are the rights that you have different going into a military court?
Well, you know, yes and no. You know, just to kind of lay out this position a little bit, you know, the military has said, you know, they would like me to come in and, you know, just basically verify the accuracy of my reporting. They have said that that's really all that they want me to do. And I have taken the position that, you know, I feel that, you know, to subpoena a journalist, to ask them to participate in the prosecution, in a government prosecution of their source, is an untenable position. It's, you know, particularly concerning to me because this is a prosecution of personal political speech. And I have basically taken the position that it's my job to report the news and not to, again, participate in these government prosecutions. And, you know, particularly in the case of political speech, when journalists can be forced to testify in this way, they quite literally become the investigative arm of the government, the eyes and ears of the government. And that line, a very necessary line between the press and the state, is eroded. And, you know, when journalists are seen as potential witnesses, as possibly cooperating or colluding with the government in their attempts to, you know, limit a particular type of speech, no one is going to testify. No one is going to speak to journalists anymore. So, you know, this has basically hauling journalists in front of a military court. You know, it threatens to, you know, chill speech. It threatens to silence debate. It threatens to subvert really the very notion of a free press. You know, the idea of kind of journalists being free to gather news, to speak to people without kind of government intervention is at the very heart of the idea of a free press, and it's certainly something that would be eviscerated should journalists, again, be forced to testify against their sources. So what we've done is that we've set up a coalition. We're working with a number of organizations, and we've set up a coalition, defendthepress.org. It's the website that you can go to you know, have a look at the different people involved. And have a look at, you know, the journalists that have, you know, kind of signed on to protest this, these developments, and also, you know, the institutions, the organizations. The Center for Media and Democracy has been very, very central in kind of building this coalition. You know, there's a number of, you know, media outlets and venues that have, you know, issued statements saying, you know, that this is just simply unacceptable. And then there's also, you know, a number of professional journalist organizations, you know, from the Society of Professional Journalists to the National Press Club to the Penn American Center's Freedom to Write Project, you know, to a number of other organizations that are, you know, kind of expressing their concern and their outrage over the Army's, again, their decision to issue subpoenas to journalists to kind of, you know, again, testify on behalf of the Army at, you know, the court-martial of one of their sources.
We will be back. I'm talking to Sarah Olson, independent journalist, joining us from Oakland, California. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black-owned and black-operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, volunteer leader, or head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that matter to you. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this. If you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look. This is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 LeClean. Be there.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Sarah Olson, a journalist who published an exclusive interview with Army First Lieutenant Aaron Watada, the highest ranking member of the military to refuse to deploy to Iraq. Now the Army wants Olson to testify, be a witness again in the lieutenant's upcoming court-martial. Sarah, what right do you have? And before we even get to that, what is it that you're going to do?
Well, I'm not really able to talk about my legal strategy in terms of what will happen as, you know, coming up on February 5th. What I am saying about that is that, you know, really the choice between my integrity as a reporter and my personal freedom, my personal liberty, is not a choice that any journalist should have to make. It's something that, you know, people should really, you know, be somewhat concerned about, you know, kind of, you know, juxtaposing those two kind of, you know, very essential concepts are, you know, not something that, you know, the Army should be forcing me to do.
What rights do you have?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, people typically understand the First Amendment as something that in some kind of basic and ambiguous way protects journalists from having to, you know, participate in these types of prosecutions. However, the court, you know, the case law in this case and in many cases like it is a very poor. The Supreme Court ruled back in the 1970s essentially that journalists didn't have any special protections, and that, you know, the, you know, when they were subpoenaed, they would indeed be compelled to testify. Now, the lower courts have, you know, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but I have been, you know, doing some research on this, and, you know, the lower courts have interpreted this in many different ways, but I think the point here is really that, you know, we have protections, we have press freedoms, we have speech rights, and, you know, until we don't. And, you know, really it's something that, you know, there's a constant kind of ebb and flow. And, you know, I think that the values that are protected in the First Amendment, the right to speak freely, the right to disseminate news unimpeded by the government, is some of the most very basic and very most fundamental rights, that we have in this country, and I think that they're worth thinking about. I think they're worth fighting for. I think they're worth preserving. And I think it's a constant kind of need to assert those rights and to use them.
Does the fact that you have been subpoenaed as a witness preclude you from sitting in and being able to report on the trial?
It does. It does. I have.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something that now you can't report on the trial?
Well, it's interesting. I certainly have not been reporting on Lieutenant Watanda's story since I was subpoenaed. There is a bit of a conflict of interest there, but I think that. That is one of several concerns that I have.
Does it frustrate you that you're in this position now?
Sure, it does. I think one of the things to consider is that, I'm quite proud of the work that I've done on Lieutenant Watanda's story. It's, certainly something that I stand behind and I think is accurate. There's that's one kind of element to it. It's an interesting story and it's an important one. It's also something that, is within the context of, kind of the larger, state of affairs in the United States today. And I think it's important to look at Lieutenant Watanda's story in that way. And so certainly I'm frustrated not to be able to cover the story. I'm also frustrated that, it's something that for some reason people, maybe they're not so concerned these days about reporters being hauled into court and, forced to testify. It's something that's happening with an increasing degree of frequency. I mean, I'm from the Bay Area and San Francisco, and people here all know about the case of Josh Wolf. He's an independent videographer who is currently sitting in prison. He'll be on February 6th. He'll be the longest jailed journalist in history. He's committed no crime, and the government in this case has convened a grand jury and would like him to hand over his video outtakes, unpublished material. That's one, particularly alarming situation. There's also, a couple of Chronicle reporters here.
But wait a minute, before we go on, these are outtakes of a anti-globalization protest. That's what they want him to turn over.
It's true. It's true.
And so that adds another. It's not just anything that he filmed, but it's about protest.
And it gets
back to the chilling effect that you talked about earlier, that what this says to others out there that want to do things like this. It sends a chilling message.
I certainly think that it does. And then there's this question of, if you don't read about it in the newspapers or hear about it on the radio or the television, how do you know that it's going on in this country? And so, when things are not reported in the press, when journalists don't cover particular pieces of, the fabric of this country, then it's hard to understand kind of the real complexities of, current affairs, current debates. And that to me is, perhaps the most concerning, one of the most concerning things about this. It's, not simply just that, journalists won't report on things, but really, when you look at the role of the press, it really is supposed to ask hard questions, to, cover all aspects of a debate,
the fourth estate.
Come a little bit closer to an understanding of, the complexities of this situation. And, certainly I think when you are having a case where the government is trying to use journalists to exclude a particular perspective, you're not having that full debate.
And is there any way to measure, can we say that in real time has the fact that you have been subpoenaed for this case, has it had an impact on the number of people that are even reporting now on Lieutenant Watanda's case?
Well, Lieutenant Watada is getting increased attention. I think his court-martial is coming up, and he has been willing to kind of come out and speak to the press. You know, another thing to kind of consider is that, you know, there's a number of other people who are in the military who are speaking out around their opposition to the Iraq War. The, you know, appeal for redress is something that has generated 1,100 signatures, almost 1,200 now, and all of active duty members of the military, you know, voicing their opposition. And that started as something that, you know, people signed online, sent to members of Congress, but it's evolved into people holding press conferences and you know, speaking out in other ways publicly. So I think that, you know, there is something, you know, it's certainly not controversial to say that we are in an unpopular war. That is simply a point of fact. And, you know, certainly I think it's important to look at the press coverage of that, and I think it's important to look at the media role of, you know, the, you know, kind of painting the Iraq War and its popularity. You know, is the media properly covering kind of the sentiment or the tone of people in this country?
And the website again that has been, that has the amazing website that has been put together for this issue.
The website is defendthepress.org. Defendthepress.org, and people can go there. We're asking people to send letters to the Pentagon and to the Army, to, asking them to drop the subpoenas. We're also asking people to send letters to Congress, letting them know that people actually support the First Amendment and the protections that should be afforded to the institution of the press to gather news in a way that is unimpeded by government intervention.
And Sarah, as the last question, when will you know whether you really will have to, that you'll have to make your decision of what you're going to do in this case? Will you know it on February 5th? Will you know it on,
well,
when will you know?
You know, I've been subpoenaed, so thus I am, you know, currently required to be in at Fort Lewis in on the 5th of February. And at any time, the Army could decide to, you know, drop their subpoena, and that's certainly what I'm hoping to do. And I'm certainly, that's what I'm asking people to help me do, to urge the Army to, you know, drop the subpoenas of myself and the other journalists involved, and to, you know, really to stop harassing the press. You know, that, so it's certainly something that could happen any time between now and then. But as of today, I will be forced to go up there to Fort Lewis in Washington State on February 5th.
Sarah Olson, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the show, and I would love to talk to you after February 5th.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, and the wake-up call, you don't want to miss the next hour of Riveting Radio. Hot off the presses, we have a woman, and I think that this is going to be a national, international story. Ms. Jones, Zaphine Jones, she went to work in celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday, and my birthday, as a matter of fact. She went to work and wore a button that said, I love being black. Her boss or her organization that she worked for said that's the same as wearing a swastika. Same as wearing a swastika. Whereas wearing a button saying I love being Irish, kiss me, I'm Irish, is a statement of celebration. Her button had to come off. And guess what? She doesn't have a job anymore. We're going to talk to her. We're going to talk to her. She's going to be in the studio with me in just a few minutes. You don't want to miss. You do not want to miss some more of Riveting Radio. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal citizenship.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alden. The full Senate's given its thumbs up to Lieutenant General David Petraeus. He is President Bush's pick to command the troops in Iraq. You're hearing the vote right now. He'll get an Oval Office send-off soon, and then he gets right into it. But what is he getting into? Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
As the Senate approves General David Petraeus to take command in Iraq, and President Bush gives him an Oval Office send-off, General Raymond Odierno, who is on the ground in Baghdad, tells ABC News the troops are making progress in small steps.
It's not an open-ended thing, but it's going to take some time. But I believe we're getting closer to the end.
President Bush rallies his own troops today, visiting House Republicans on a policy retreat in Maryland. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
At least 14 people are dead, many more hurt after a bomb exploded in a box full of pigeons today at a busy animal market in Baghdad. Drive-by shooting south of the capital killed two Iraqis, and the U.S. military says a Marine died fighting in the Al Anbar province. At least two people are dead after a suicide bombing in the parking lot of a hotel in Islamabad, Pakistan, popular with foreign travelers.
Officials investigating Friday's blast in the Pakistani capital suspect the bomber hoped to enter the lobby. The Marriott is one of the busiest hotels in Islamabad and frequented by many foreigners.
ABC's Gretchen Peters in Islamabad. Are the presidential elections a few months away or a few days? The candidates are already on the campaign trail.
Even in the Red Arrow Diner, a common stop for presidential candidates, Elaine, the third shift waitress for the last 20 years, says it is really early for so much politicking.
Seems to me it wouldn't start until like this coming late summer. Yeah, I was going to say June, July. Here it is, January. I thought it was my imagination.
She's not imagining things. Rudy Giuliani is here this weekend, Hillary Clinton next weekend, Mitt Romney in between, and most candidates have already started ground operations here. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service only at your dealership.
I got two strong arms. I can help.
We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
And now a game time update from Walmart. With their oven mitts, skillets, and chip and dip bowls, they stand ready. Like warriors off to battle, these party throwers bust open bags of chips, arrange jelly platters, cook, take, and bake pizzas, all in preparation for the big game. Their fans have gathered to taste victory. And that famous seven-layer bean dip. Because it's game time. They've been to Walmart, and they're prepared to put on a show like never before.
Pepsi, Doritos, Cheez-Its, Chex Mix, and Planters Peanuts are conveniently located at our game time party display. Many on rollback. Look for it at Walmart.
Most pet owners say their furry or feathered friends are members of their family and they're treated as such. So, this shouldn't surprise you. Here's ABC's Louise Schiavone.
Firefighters don't just battle flames, they save lives. Sometimes the lives of pets. Spurred on by animal advocacy groups and pet product suppliers, fire departments are adding little oxygen masks to their standard equipment. Cone-shaped masks come in three sizes to accommodate pets ranging from dogs to cats to guinea pigs and even birds. Pets live in about 60 million households across the nation. Louise Schiavone, ABC News.
You may still be paying off your holiday debts, but a lot of you just made or you are planning to make a big purchase soon, big in more ways than one. The National Retail Federation says 2.5 million Americans will buy a high-definition TV, usually a big screen, in time to watch the Super Bowl, which, by the way, is next Sunday. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ferrandmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, Sean Hornbeck may have been forced to help Michael Devlin in the kidnapping of Ben Ownby. Authorities close to the case say that Hornbeck was the one who grabbed Ownby on the rural road to his home and then pushed him into the truck used to abduct him. A pediatric psychiatrist said that Devlin would have had to desensitize and brainwash Hornbeck for months to get him to do something so clearly wrong. Police speculate that in Devlin's eyes, the 15-year-old Hornbeck was getting too old and may have struck a deal with Hornbeck to help him get a new victim. A pedestrian is dead after being hit by a car in the Central West End. The woman was hit around 7 o'clock last night near the intersection of Forest Park and North Euclid Avenues. She was transported to Barnes Jewish Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. The victim's name hasn't been released. It is unknown if the driver of the car will face charges. Finally this hour, a local charity is sending a special Valentine's Day gift to the troops overseas. In South St. Louis City, children from three Catholic schools are sending handmade valentines, and Merb's Candy Company is donating boxes of chocolate. The Soldiers Wish List charity will send the gifts to wounded soldiers in hospitals in Afghanistan and Iraq. The organization also raised money to pay for shipping the gifts to the Middle East. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Let's take a look at your traffic here. Westbound 70 at Z through Winchville Parkway. Look for road construction. Left lane's closed. Southbound Kings Highway onto westbound 40. Look for that ramp to be closed. Bell Fountain at 270. Look for a burst water main break. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well. Northbound Route 3, that ramp is cleared up now. Northbound 270 on either side of 44, starting the congestion starting to break up there. Eastbound 70 is rolling well into the city. Eastbound 40 is looking good from Daniel Boone Bridge all the way into Timber Lake Manor. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, look forward to blustery conditions. However, it will be sunny with a high in the mid-50s for this evening. Partly cloudy in the evening, mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 30. Saturday, mostly cloudy, colder, chance of flurries, highs only in the mid-30s. Saturday evening, things get a little bit even colder, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries, a low around 15. Then Sunday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny, but the high will only be in the mid-20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 35 degrees and clear skies. Lambert Field is also reporting 35 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Riveting Talk Radio. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight, I will never say that Congress is being made.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back. All I can say is, besides the fact that my name is Liz Brown and that this is the wake-up call, is it is the year 007. And the battles that, the challenges, the confrontations, the issues haven't changed. Oh, we dress a little better. I think, better clothes than in the 70s. But nonetheless, the issues that confront us are the same issues that have been confronting us from the moment that our ancestors were stolen from Africa and brought to these shores. Everything is the same. There is an amazing story that is coming out, and I think that it is significant. I really do. I really think that it is significant that this is a story that is coming out of Missouri. I think it is significant that this story is happening at this time. I think that there is a reason why this story is coming out of Missouri. The story that is coming out is a story that, again, reminds us where we are and where we haven't gone. It's a story of how America responds to African people, African people's self-love. It has been the thing that this society has targeted from the moment that we were stolen and brought here. It is why Toby's foot was cut off. He wanted to call himself Kunta Kinte. Self-love. Gotta kill it. And then gotta send the message to everybody that this is what happens when you love yourself. Love who you are. Relish in it. Revel in it. Be it. They cut it off. That's what they did in the 1800s. Now, it's a little bit more challenging to cut somebody's foot off in the year 2007. So instead, they fire you when you exhibit self-love. Are we going to talk about this? We're going to talk about this. What they say? Black, proud, and fired? Oh, yeah. We're going to talk to Ms. Jones about this. My name is Liz Brown. Don't you go nowhere. We'll be back.
This is
Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 4:30 starting this Saturday, January 27th, for the Apostolic Faith Hour broadcast on AM 920 WGNU. Bishop James A. Johnson of the Bethesda Temple Church of the Apostolic Faith invites you to tune in and discover the church where Jesus completely saves. That's the Apostolic Faith Hour, Saturday afternoons at 4:30, beginning this Saturday, January 27th, on your Gospel Voice of Choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 Laclede. Be there.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
That's what I'm talking about. Made me want to holler. My name is Liz Brown, and we got a story this morning. That's going to make you want to holler. And I want to begin with good morning, Ms. Jones.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm looking at you this morning. You have on a black turtleneck and a red, black, and green button. Tell us what that button says and give us the history of that button.
This button says, I love being black. And it is a statement that I professed as my love for myself. I am proud to be a black individual. I am black, and I will never be anything other than black. And so I express it on a daily measure.
And where did the button come from?
My mother gave me this button when I was 11 years old.
See, go ahead on. That is just a beautiful thing. I love that part of the story that you have a mother who is so loving and forward-thinking to give you a tool to tell you that you are beautiful, that you are, that, and to instill within you that love of self and love of community from the moment that you were 11. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing.
I don't think she quite expected to eventually have the outcome that this button has brought forth, but she is, in fact, proud of me.
At 11 years old, you had that button. So bring us up to speed of Martin Luther King's birthday, the year 2007.
On January the 11th, I wore this button into place of employment.
And describe for us where you work and how you were wearing it, what else you were wearing.
I worked at that time for Healthcare Strategic Initiatives.
Healthcare Strategic Initiatives.
Yes, their acronym is HSI.
Mm-hmm.
I wore the button in conjunction with other buttons celebrating the national holiday of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. I had the buttons displayed on an HSI company T-shirt. We are allowed to wear blue jeans on a daily basis as long as we have a company shirt on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had on a company blue jean shirt and the buttons displayed. And I arrived at work at 7 a.m., and at 9:30, I was called into the director of human resources office.
Wait a minute. You arrived at work at 8?
At 7.
At 7. And at what time were you called into human resources?
9:30.
So you'd been at work a couple of hours.
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours, and you're called into human resources. What are you thinking when you're told to do this?
Have no idea what it's concerning.
Mm-hmm.
The morning started as my mornings normally do.
Well, what do you do there?
I was a biller.
What did you do there? Mm-hmm.
I was a reimbursement specialist mm-hmm. for them, and I handled various account claims and billing issues and anything that appropriated between the patient and the facility or the patient and the physician.
And how long had you been there?
I would have been there 2 years come March 7th.
Okay. So you're called into HR.
Yes.
What happened?
I go into the office.
Who's in there?
Bernard Kendall.
And that is, who is that?
He is the director of human resources for HSI.
Okay. And what does Bernard say to you?
Well, he says good morning to me,
mm-hmm.
asks me to have a seat, and tells me that it's been brought to his attention that I am wearing a button that is offensive.
It has brought... Now, again, you've been at work 2.5 hours.
Correct.
And he's saying, somebody has told me that you're wearing a button that is offensive. What did you think when he said, someone said you're wearing an offensive button?
I immediately knew which button that they were referring to.
You've been African all your life. You knew exactly what
I knew exactly what button.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that it was the button that said that I love being black.
But on the other hand, okay, we'll get to whether or not it could have been the other buttons given what has happened in your business before.
True.
Okay,
True.
So you knew, you suspected that it was going to be the I love, and let me just describe it a little bit more for the audience. It's a green button, black letters that say the capital letter I, and then a red heart being black. So I heart being black, I love being black.
Correct.
Okay. Did Bernard look at the button when you came into the office?
Yes, he did.
And what was his expression?
His expression was a slight smile, lowering of the eyes, kind of lowering of the head. Shaking of the head to the left and the right.
Mm.
My reaction to his mannerisms is that perhaps he's thinking, you've got to be kidding. You do not want me to bring this lady in here to talk to her about this particular button. But further into the conversation, that ideal changed.
So he said, it has been brought to my attention in the 2.5 hours that you've been here that you are wearing an offensive button. What happened then?
He went on to look at the button, and he said, the button that you're displaying to your left, which would have been his right.
Because you had the buttons on one side of your body, you had...
I had Martin Luther King buttons displayed on my right side,
mm-hmm.
and I had the I Love Being Black button by itself on my left side.
Okay.
And he went on to advise me that that button was offensive and that it equivalent.
Wait a minute. Let's slow down just a little bit.
Okay.
He said that button, I Heart Being Black, is offensive. What did you think, and did you say something when he said that?
I thought, how could this button be offensive? Because it is a personal statement.
Mm-hmm.
It is saying, I love being black.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying, heart being black,
mm-hmm.
which would say, love being black.
Mm-hmm.
It's my own personal conviction.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I love being black. So how dare you tell me that this is offensive? And what I said to him was, whoever felt that this button was offensive is offended by me being a black person, because the button states, I love being black. So if you're offended by me loving myself for being black, you are offended by me as a black person.
Mm-hmm. And you hate black people. Okay.
It speaks for itself.
Okay. So you're thinking this, and you say to him.
I said that to him.
Okay.
I said that directly
to
him.
And what did he say? What did Bernard say?
Bernard told me that the button was as if someone would come into the office with a swastika on their arm.
What did you think when he said that it's like a swastika on your arm? What did you think?
I just could not believe that he found that to be equal, that they were even on the same page, that they could be compared. How can you look at this button and the first thing that comes to your mind is, oh, that's like someone coming into the office with a swastika on.
Well, and let me just try to understand. Reflect upon a swastika. A swastika means murder. A swastika means lawlessness. A swastika means hate. A swastika means millions of dead people. A swastika represents an intolerant, lawless government. Yeah. And a swastika is often used at the lynchings or the draggings of African people or other people. So, huh? You know, I mean,
exactly.
That's the history of a swastika. What is the history of a person who says, I love being black? So in other words, what they're saying is that you are advocating murder, you're advocating violence, you're advocating lawlessness, you're advocating cruelty, you're advocating the elimination of races of people.
By saying, I love being black.
That's what he's saying.
Unbelievable. So, it was an unbelievable experience. I could not believe that this was happening. Because this is a gentleman that I have sat with and had discussions.
Bernard is.
Bernard Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
On many occasions about black issues, black folks, literature, where we were, where we're going. And for him to display this.
Well, you know, let the audience know, Ms. Jones, of what ethnic heritage is Bernard?
He is a black man.
So he's African too. And I think for our audience, I think that this is significant because the company that fired you, hundreds and hundreds of people work for that company. It's a large corporation.
They have 4 corporate buildings in the area in which I worked.
Huge corporations. And the history of American, corporate America, is when they hire black folks in supervisory types of position, black folks historically have been put in human resources. So tell us, on this corporation, what kind of black folks do they have in supervisory positions, in your building at least?
None.
None. Except for Bernard.
He is the only.
In human resources.
He is the only in the company.
Only in the company.
Correct.
Only in the company that employs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people.
4 buildings.
4
of
buildings.
Employees.
Now if before we continue with our conversation with Bernard, I want to give folks a little bit more history of the behavior of individuals within this company, corporation. Of hundreds and hundreds of people and their response to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. We're going to have that conversation when we come back. This is Liz Brown. You don't want to go nowhere.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Phil.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Phil.
I'm Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about Strategies for Building Wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. And let me tell you this, if you attend only one public meeting this year, this is the one that you need to attend. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, that's DESE, will be in town on January 30th, Tuesday, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University. Why? They want to hear from you about your opposition to the state takeover of our district. Look, this is an important meeting. Everybody needs to be there. If you only attend one meeting this year, attend this one. Tuesday, January 30th, from 6 to 9 at Harrisdale University in the main auditorium at 3026 McLean. Be there.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ooh, I got something I want to talk about. Y'all let me up. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone's got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Daphne Jones. Daphne Jones was fired from her job after wearing a button that says, I heart being black, I love being black. We're talking about the conversation that you're having with the head of HR, the only black person in management in the entire hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of members of employees of this corporation. The corporation is, the name of the corporation again is MS. What's the name of the corporation?
HSI.
So, okay, HSI, you're talking to their employee, the head of their human resources. I want to go back a little bit before we continue forward with this conversation that you're having with him.
Excuse me.
Have there been other incidences at HSI involving black images, black people?
Yes. excuse me. Last year, during the Martin Luther King holiday, excuse me, a coworker had posters in her office that were removed after they had been displayed for 2 weeks.
Wait a minute. Walk us through this. Walk us through this. How did this happen? And these are pictures and posters of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King?
Yes. They are just pictures of Martin Luther King during various stages of his life.
Mm-hmm. And she had him up. Now, when she had him up, did she have him up in front of one of the four buildings that HSI has? Does she have him in a poster attached, affixed to her car? Where did she have these pictures?
These pictures were in her cubicle.
Inside of her own. Did she share a cubicle with this individual?
No, she did not.
So somebody had to walk into her cubicle to see it. It wasn't on the outside of her cubicle. It was in her personal space.
It was in her cubicle, and her cubicle sits behind another cubicle. So you would intentionally have to walk down a slight hallway to see her posters.
So she had these posters of Martin Luther King up, various stages of Martin Luther King's life, inside of her little cubicle. And she had them up there for 2 weeks.
She had those posters up for 2 weeks.
And what happened?
On the actual national holiday, when this co-worker was not at work, her posters were removed.
On the national holiday of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yes.
In commemoration almost of Martin Luther King, somebody went into her cubicle and took down all of her posters.
Yes, they did.
Did she send somebody to take down her posters?
No, she did not.
And what was said about the reason why at HSI, an African employee who had up posters of a man that there is a national holiday for, just like Abraham Lincoln, just like George Washington, national holiday for Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. She had pictures of the man. What reason did HSI give for sending somebody in there to take those pictures down?
My understanding is when the employee returned the next day, she was told by our supervisor that the posters were found to be offensive to other employees and therefore they were removed.
Photographs of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King were removed from a personal cubicle of a woman at HSI because they are offensive. Because they are offensive. So, and that was just when?
That was the holiday of 2006.
So, the next year, what's the word I'm looking for? Ethnic cleansing, if you will. They did something else. Then came you.
Then came me.
Then came you. So
yeah.
So they got rid of all the posters of Martin Luther King. I guess he just had one more thing left to do, was to get rid of the I Heart Being Black. So in the year 2007, you're sitting in the office of the only black supervisor in this huge corporation. And he's saying to you, wearing an I Love Being Black button is the same as a swastika.
Yes, he is.
And did you talk to him at all about, what happens at this company on St. Patrick's Day?
Yes, I did.
What'd you say?
I asked him. I said, you know, Bernard, what about individuals who wear buttons that say, I love being Irish? And what he said to me was that was acceptable because they are wearing those in commemorating St. Patrick's Day.
And St. Patrick's Day, as far as I know, and I don't know everything, but it's not a national holiday, is it?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, and I haven't checked all the holiday books, but I don't think it's a national holiday. But Bernard says that, they're celebrating a holiday. What'd you say to that?
I said, well, I'm wearing this in conjunction with the Dr. Martin Luther King birthday.
And what did this man of African descent say to you?
He told me that Dr. Martin Luther King was for all people and he would never single out one individual race. He was for everyone, black and white.
But he did single out the African race and constantly and talking about the injustices inflicted upon African people. What's going through your mind right now? What's going through your mind as you're sitting here in this 90% white corporation? Okay, you're an employee here. And you're sitting in front of this HR person who is telling you that saying, I love being African, I love my ethnic heritage, saying that I love that is a murderous statement, a crime. What are you thinking?
I am in disbelief because over the past year, I had a rapport with Mr. Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
We often had conversations in regards to the struggle of the African American, literature.
Well, did he whisper when he was talking to you?
No, he didn't.
All right.
literature, ongoing events, issues, and just black folks. You know, we just talked. We talked real talk. So when this was occurring, I was in total disbelief, Liz. I just could not comprehend that this was the same person that I had had these previous conversations with.
Well, and when you were talking to him, Ms. Jones, what was the energy that he was bringing to his explanation? Was he adamant? Was he hesitant? Was he a little ashamed? Or was he aggressive? What was he in bringing this the position of the company to you?
He was, it was a mixture, because there were certain times when he was very calm in his mannerisms, and then there were times when he was arrogant in explaining something to me. And then,
arrogant?
Yes. Yes.
So do you remember the time that what he was talking about at the time when he took on the arrogance energy?
Yes. After we had discussed the Irish button and the swastika reference, I stated to him that if I were to inquire with an attorney or with someone from the ACLU, I believe that they would not find this button to be offensive, and I would be able to continue to wear it. He stated to me that he felt quite confident with himself that if he presented his case with the examples that he presented to me, that they would agree with him.
And what did you say to that?
I just couldn't believe that he would say that. So I was literally speechless for a moment.
And how are you responding right now? How are you responding right now?
Right now, I am just trying to...
I mean, at the time of the of him saying that.
Right. At that time, I'm just sitting there in disbelief. I really can't say anything, and I'm trying not to say the wrong thing. So at that particular point, I am thinking to myself, it's best that you just not say anything.
So, are you upset?
Oh, yes.
Are you upset? How are you exhibiting how you're upset?
It was as if someone turned the water faucet on. There were tears just literally pouring from my eyes.
And are you crying because you're sad? Are you crying because you're mad? Why are you crying?
I am crying because I am extremely angry. Extremely. Extremely.
And so, okay. He says this to you. He says that this is like wearing a swastika, all of that. Then what happens? Okay, you're crying. What happens after that?
What happens after that is that he instructs me that I must remove the button, and it must be removed before I leave his office.
Or?
There never was an or.
And what did you say?
I sat there for a while. I sat there for a good 5 to 7 minutes.
What's going through your head?
Should I take this button off or should I leave it on and say an expletive?
And what else is going through your mind? Are you thinking about what it means if you take the button off and what it means if you leave the button on?
I am, because I'm, you know, in my mind I'm saying to myself, if I take this button off, I am giving in to the system, mm-hmm, of this company,
mm-hmm,
which is, it's not pro-black, it's not for their black employees, and I didn't want to do that. But at the same time, by means that I cannot explain at this time, I was able to think, I can handle this in a better way,
mm-hmm,
and I can get this out where people will know what goes on in here with the black employees.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and took the button off, but I was thinking of what my next step was going to be.
And after you took it off, what did he do? How did he respond?
He told me that he wanted me to know that he was not doing this to upset me or to hurt me.
Well, he was doing it to address the hurt or the upsetness of the person that brought it to him.
Exactly, of the offended
person. Yes, uh-huh. Those were the feelings that he was most concerned about.
Correct.
Because clearly, I'm certain that the person that brought it to him wasn't crying.
No.
I'm certain that the person that was brought it to him wasn't angry. Well, I bet they were angry, and I bet that that was the emotion that mattered to him the most of making certain that they didn't feel that way.
I'm sure.
We're going to continue this conversation. I'd love to hear from you at 1-877-920-WGNU, 454-0400. Get up and get to me. We have much, much, much more to talk about. Stay with us. Shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands: Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics: TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, I'm Randy Graham. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof!
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
The people, the issues affecting your life. Right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships. For the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip. For the millions who jumped overboard. For the blood that poured on the shores of North America.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Daphne Jones. Daphne Jones was told to take off a button that said, I love being black, because it was offensive by a corporation by the name of that goes by HSI. And Daphne, you're in the office right now, and we have a lot of people that want to have comments about this. But I want to finish this up. What happened to you? So you're in the office. You took the button off. You went back to your cubicle. You had to spend the rest of the day there.
The entire business day.
So you go home. I'm certain you didn't sleep.
No, I didn't. I drank. And I talked about it.
Uh-huh.
And before I even left the job, I packed up everything that belonged to me in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just felt that it would not be long before mm-hmm. I was no longer there, either by choice or by my personal choice mm-hmm. or by actions of HSI.
So there was at some point that you brought somebody, a lawyer, in to talk. How did that happen? What happened with that?
Well, once again, the initial incident began on January the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
I had taken off for the national holiday, which was the 15th. On that Tuesday, I have a dear friend who mm-hmm. is an attorney by profession, and I had been seeking advisement from this person. They came into the office as an impartial party.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
T. Cooper.
T. Cooper. I know T.
T. Cooper.
I know T.
He came in as a friend, as an impartial party, just to help me understand the policy and procedure, and to also inquire if any disciplinary actions were going to be placed in my personnel file as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cooper had not been retained. Mm-hmm. He did not state that he was representing me. He was there as a concerned friend.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened at the meeting, and who was there?
Mr. Cooper came into the building and signed in on the appropriate visitor's form, at which time the receptionist contacted Mr. Kendall and advised him that Mr. Cooper was outside. Mr. Kendall did come into the reception area and greeted Mr. Cooper, at which time Mr. Cooper identified himself and his relationship to me
mm-hmm.
and asked if he could have a moment of Mr. Kendall's time.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Mr. Kendall said that was fine. Mr. Cooper asked Mr. Kendall if it would be okay if I was included in the discussion, and he said yes, and we went into the office. So at that time, it was myself, Mr. Cooper, and Mr. Kendall.
And how was the meeting?
The meeting was very short.
Mm.
Once again, Mr. Cooper advised Mr. Kendall that he was there as a friend, as an impartial party, but by profession he was an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that I had been extremely upset by the incident on January the 11th and had heard my side of the story and wanted to know if he could perhaps get the company side of the story. At which time Mr. Kendall advised Mr. Cooper that no information could be released without a written request of release of information prior, and that the questions must be included.
Huh? Questions must be included?
Yes. The questions that you want answered must be included in the written release.
What happened then?
So Mr. Cooper said, okay, that's fine. Mr. Kendall went on to explain to us that there is a grievance process that is utilized internally that I should follow if I disagreed with the actions that were imposed on me on January the 11th. Mr. Cooper asked me if I was aware of this policy. That was in the Policy and Procedures Manual, and if I had a copy of the Policy and Procedures Manual, to which I stated yes.
Mm-hmm. So then what happened?
They basically thanked each other for the time, and that was pretty much it.
And so you went back to work?
Actually, this was at the end of the day.
Okay.
I was off work.
Okay. So the next day, anything happened next day?
The next day, which was a Wednesday, I was fired.
And the reasons for being fired, did they give you reasons for being fired?
They told me I was brought into the office at about 12:30 that afternoon by my supervisor. I was brought into Mr. Kendall's office, at which time Mr. Kendall advised me that the previous day's events were extremely uncomfortable for him. He advised me that I had breached the company's policy and procedure for the grievance by seeking outside counsel instead of following the procedure manual when a grievance occurs. Also, that I had breached the confidentiality by having Mr. Cooper in the building and walking around within the building.
But he, T was following Bernard. Didn't Bernard invite him back?
Bernard did invite him into his office.
If I, as a citizen, walked up to the front door, could I get as far as T got?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
And even after we had left Mr. Kendall's office, Mr. Cooper did accompany me to my desk.
Mm-hmm.
He did accompany me to a co-worker's area because there were some posters that the co-worker had received from Mr. Cooper. So we went to the area just for him to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
Once we left that area, I introduced Mr. Cooper to my supervisor,
mm-hmm.
at which time we left her area, got my belongings from my desk, and we left the building. Never at any time, Liz, from the time Mr. Cooper came into the building and met Mr. Kendall, was he ever advised that he was in a restricted area and could not be in the building.
Mm, let me get to some. I know there are just so many people that want to say something. Let's get to some of our callers. Sam.
Oh, good morning, Liz, to you and your guest.
Good morning.
I saw the thing on TV last night on the news, and I saw that button, and I can't understand how somebody could be offended by it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Keith.
Yeah, how you doing?
Outstanding.
I've been listening to this almost from the beginning, and this is things that we go through in corporate America every day. I work for about 4 or 5 Fortune 500 companies, and it's amazing that more people don't speak out against things like this, and this is why they continue to happen. Just like when the Republican senator in Virginia said, we should just get over slavery.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
And then the other night on MSNBC, there was a racial college party.
That's right.
That basically poking fun at Dr. Martin King's birthday by dressing up as black people and drinking 40 ounces.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
But they don't want us to say anything about this.
And
want reparations or anything like that, but they gave it to the Jews.
Okay. And I gotta go, Keith. But thank you so much. The point is that. All you're saying is I love who I am.
Exactly.
I love who I am. This is what is happening when you just simply say, I love who I am.
Exactly.
In the year 2007. D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning.
Young lady, Daphne.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the number of the corporate office?
You know, at this time, I cannot release that information.
Okay. Well, we need to call there. We really need to get that number.
All right.
Okay. Keep up the strength, young lady.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Dodge.
Hey, Liz. How's it going?
Outstanding.
I was listening to the case, and I heard a case similar to hers that happened in St. Louis. I think it was a month ago, a lady had wore a shirt to her office saying she was proud of being a Muslim descent. You know, she was a lady from the Nation of Islam, and they sent her home. And also, too, Liz, the company was wrong because the button didn't say anything derogatory toward white people.
Didn't say anything derogatory. But you got to that underscores how things are internalized in America. For an African person, just like when Kunta Kinte's foot was cut off, why was it cut off? Because he said, I'm not changing my name to Toby. Self-love. What is the history of this country in response to the self-love exhibited by African people? It is hostility, it is crime, it is lynching, and in 2007, it's firing.
Right. And also, too, Liz, is that you also have to understand, see, we're in changing times. Racism and white supremacy has a black face, too. You know, we got enemies, we got white people.
And I got to roll. Johnson, quickly. Johnson? All right, we're going to do it this way. So, they fired you.
Yes, they did.
They fired you.
They fired me, girl.
And were you surprised?
No. I wasn't surprised. I'm surprised at the reason that they gave me.
Mm-hmm. So where do we go from here?
We move forward.
Mm-hmm.
we move forward. I will continue to be a voice for my people to let them know, although you need your job, and I respect that, you too deserve respect.
Are you going to sue them?
You know, at this time, my options are endless.
I like you. I like you. I like you. You know what? It is always the way that I end my show. I end it this way, and this is a special one to you. Stay strong.
Thank you, my sister. Peace and blessings.
All right, now, folks.
All right.
I'll be back same time, same place next week.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air fills the world.